You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at wearelibertarians.com.
All right, let's get back to some boring subjects.
Understand the risk to our country.
Freedom brings people together.
You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com.
Welcome to We Are Libertarians. Thanks so much for joining us. Honestly, I don't even know what we're going to talk about in this episode. We're just going to chit-chat. We've got eight people here. It's going to be quite messy. It's going to be fun. We're just going to talk a little bit about the holidays. And I'm going to let James Neese explain why he thinks doxing is okay. So we'll talk about that. Just sort of a fun listen here on We Are Libertarians. We'll see you right after these messages. Hey, everybody, it's Chris Spangle from here on the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network and host of The Chris Spangle Show. I am here today to tell you about CrowdHealth. CrowdHealth helps you take charge of your healthcare. Open enrollment is here. We are all making decisions about our healthcare, and now is the time to take care of your healthcare decisions. We all know the system isn't working, and thanks to CrowdHealth, we can do something about it. CrowdHealth puts your healthcare back in your hands, and it cuts out the middleman, saves money, and funds your healthcare costs without relying on big government or big insurance companies. You can see any doctor you want, no deductibles, exclusions, or copay, and only pay the first $500 of any healthcare event. The CrowdHealth community takes care of the rest. No exclusive doctor networks and no huge premiums or high deductible. No surprises. You pay one low monthly total to fund your account, and your monthly subscription helps fund healthcare costs of the entire CrowdHealth community. And unlike insurance, there are no doctor's networks. So again, you can see any doctor you want. So how does CrowdHealth beat insurance? Simple. By totally reversing the vicious incentives that got us into this mess in the first place. CrowdHealth provides a true peace of mind, something insurance companies don't seem to actually care about. And unlike insurance companies, CrowdHealth helps you find great care at a fair price and always pays doctors as quickly as possible and actively negotiates to keep costs down for everyone. So take charge of your healthcare today with CrowdHealth. Open enrollment is the only time you can hit the eject button on a broken system without penalty, so don't wait. And for a limited time, join for just $99 per month for your first 6 months when you use the promo code WALN at joincrowdhealth.com. That's joincrowdhealth.com. Promo code WALN. One note, CrowdHealth is not health insurance. It's a totally different way of paying for healthcare. Terms and conditions may apply.
Warning, this show is for adults, produced by semi-adults. So the language is sometimes strong and offensive.
I don't know what I said.
Welcome to We Are Libertarians, where our goal is to help you sound smarter while talking to your friends. We examine current events from a libertarian perspective while treating modern politics with all of the irreverence it deserves.
There has been lie after lie.
We toss out the screaming heads, put people before political parties, and give context to the news to make you think. Now, here's our host, a 15-year veteran of politics and media, Chris Spangle.
Welcome back to the show. Thank you so much for joining me here on We Are Libertarians, a part of the Chris Spangle Show. We thank you so much. Patreon manager, can you pull up our Patreon folks just so I have it? Now we get to blame. I think I cut it out of last episode, but you were blamed last episode because I don't have my printout, which is I always have all my notes printed out so I don't commit things to memory. But thank you for joining us here in the Doolittle Studios. Thanks to Jason Doolittle for making the We Are Libertarian Studios possible. Thank you to Harry for making the studio possible and to all of our patrons. Got a lot of people here. Harry Price, how are you?
Going good, going good. Yeah, technically it's like a $600 a month contribution to the network that I give to you.
See, what I don't like, Paul Copeland, thank you for joining us, is he seems to think the power balance has shifted. Because we let the We Are Libertarians equipment sit in his house.
Well, just like certain Russian dictators are finding out, if you overextend yourself, as the Chris Spangle Show has done, you find yourself vulnerable to the ultra-nationalists back at home.
Are you saying Harry is our ultra-nationalist?
I would say that this is my Crimea, and you have just put troops here.
Yes. Well, we want to give a special thanks to all of our patrons, but especially the $100 a month folks. Jake Edel, Lars Nordskog, Matthew Durbin, Vincent Peichel, Ryan Hold, and Christy Avery, whom both are here. We appreciate you both. And Jason Doolittle. So thank you both, and thank you, Christy, our Patreon manager. You probably have talked with her. Also here, we've mentioned Reinhold. Reinhold, thanks for coming all the way out. It's like an hour drive for you.
It's like an hour drive. It's feels like an hour drive. It's probably about 45 minutes. But that feels like an hour.
That interstate's going to be done. It was supposed to be done in November, but...
I hear now it's going to be April.
April.
Yeah.
April.
I believe that. I'll put money down on that one.
Of what year?
They said 2020. They actually did say 2023. But
30-20, got it.
They have a $100,000 day penalty for every day that they go over, so they better finish, hurry it up. Also here is Vincent. Thank you for unmuting yourself. We had to have a private conversation last time. You apparently laughed too loud for some listeners.
I guess that's a thing that happens, but it's okay. It's okay. I understand.
Yes.
My laugh can be very annoying to some people, because when something really is funny, my pitch gets really high and really loud.
I love when you're in the room, Harry, you don't notice it.
Yeah, you don't notice it. It's just something like maybe a frequency that the mics pick up that we don't you don't hear with the human ear. Yeah.
You're going to want to adjust this so it's right in your mouth, Harry.
So one thing we should probably do is just make sure when he's muted, when he's laughing, that way the other mics will pick it up so it'll sound more.
That's probably what it was.
It was so loud because all the mics picked it up at the same time.
The other problem was this shitty recorder. So I brought the better recorder, so it hopefully sounds a little bit better.
I was going to say, I'm also glad that he's back from his week suspension, too.
Yes.
So rude. I got suspended for stating how Spangles that don't talk over each other and proceeds to talk over everybody.
Mm-hmm. This is my podcast. I can do what I want. Do you see that picture up there? Who is that? Who is that, Vincent?
I don't know.
I've never seen that face before in my life. It's time you learn.
I've never seen that face before in my life.
That's Dear Leader. This is my podcast. I will fire you. I didn't even hire you to begin with.
I was hired by the Neo Dear Leader, right. And he told me that he's paying my stuff. I don't have to worry about you.
I'll fire him.
I fired
many co-hosts.
The fracturing's already happening.
Yes.
He can't fire me. Spangle can't drop me.
Call me Jesus.
I said Adidas.
It is getting time for contract negotiations, renegotiations, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I'm the Elon Musk of this podcast, so I'm unpredictable and crazy. You can't tell me what to do. All right. We are blessed to have two returning folks who have been on the podcast for a very long time. But we haven't heard from because we never get together in person. And the first person to show up today, Harry, was James Neese.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Whom I thought James would be the last person to show up. It was a race. It was a race between Miranda and James for the last person to show up. It was Miranda, who you're the only person, Miranda, who is later than me to things.
I'll tell you what.
Into the mic, real close.
Best intentions, and it still happens. So
that's okay. We love you. We're glad you're here. James, thanks for being here.
I'm on Libertarians All the Time. It's just low-key wild because, like, here we're going to talk about politics. On low-key wild, we're going to talk about, like, big old honking anime titties. You know what I mean? Is what it is, you know? So, like, you'll catch me in the... All the time. I force it.
We need to get him headphones so Vincent can hear himself.
I'll force it, right? So, like... We were talking about DC. It's like, let me go ahead and share my screen real quick. Boom, 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 boom. You know, it's like, oh, goddamn, dude. You know, but I'm always in the Twitch chat. You can catch me in the Twitch chat.
Okay.
So it's like, people come in, like, there's like a couple of viewers in there. If we get 50 subs, Harry's going to do a 24-hour gaming stream, like, no sleep, nonstop game, whatever game we choose. We get to see him live for 24 hours. So,
Now, James, what have you been up to since the last time you were on?
God, what have I been doing? I blew up my car, so I got a new car. It's like car caught on fire, fucking junked it in Ohio.
Why did it blow up?
Because like I don't pay attention to like car maintenance because I treat a car like I treat like, you know, a neglectful girlfriend, you know what I mean? It's like whatever, just run it to the ground and when she leaves.
That's how you treat your girlfriends. That's not a good way to. I just treat my girlfriend Miranda like a junk, and then I run her into the ground.
That's all I know.
Yeah,
I mean
Miranda,
stay toxic, kings. You know what I mean? Stay toxic.
Okay. The car blowing up. That shit happens. I'm not going to say that's on you for the battery maintenance or whatever. Yeah. I don't know.
No, that stuff doesn't happen.
It's happened to me twice. So
that's happened to me twice too.
What is wrong with you people?
I know. That's what I said to my car.
It's called a Jiffy Lube. Go there.
No, it's the battery, though.
He knew there was an issue that he didn't have a temperature gauge, and it melted. That's his own fault.
Okay.
All right, let's pause real quick. Vincent, unplug the box because the box is causing a
also,
short.
I have to pee.
Wait, yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, right there's a Speedway.
Yeah. I'm going in your yard. Get over it.
She has the cleanest ass in this room. I guarantee
that's
it.
That's the renter's. Sorry.
If we were having a clean ass contest, I'm betting on Miranda.
I use a bidet, so I doubt that.
Maybe.
Harry's over here like, you dare challenge my power.
Wiping is for liberals and liberal enjoyers. Waxed, okay? Don't wipe. Right. Trucker code.
Wiping is for lib turds? Is that what you said?
For liberals, yeah. Like, we have a trucking group called, like,
you just shorted out. Okay, go ahead.
So, Rare Hosses, we talk about, like, what it's like to be a trucker, including pissing in jugs, throwing them at cars, like, lot lizards, like, not wiping at the speedway, you know, because, like, who cares?
Yeah,
it's like, you're just going to change your underwear anyway. So, like, if you want to join a cool group, you can join Rare Hosses. We can talk about, like, you know, yard clippings. You know, you can slide. Andrew Bowman knows all about it. You can hit Andrew
I'm in Rare Hosses, the Facebook group. Yeah, hell yeah, brother.
Hell yeah, brother. I mean, you don't have to. If you're like a true conservative man, like,
you have to put the mic into the thing because you're shorting out the cord and the cord. I know you're a musician, but yeah, the cord is kind of like rattling in the thing and cutting out. So
Spangled needs new equipment, so it's like
this is all new equipment.
This is like the Shoe and Head video. Is wiping gay?
See, that's when you use the opportunity to say, any Patreons out there,
is this really
give us new equipment.
Yes.
Yeah. Please
join Wall Plus.
Chris needs like Korean gauged, like gold plated, like, you know, cords that don't like cut in and out because Chris is just going to like a music store and just buying whatever the fucking mic he gets, right?
I've got the Mogami for myself. Yeah. But everybody else,
gives us
got Audio
we do
Technica.
Need to go down to Rupert's to pick up the. He's got sound insulation foam for us.
Okay, we should definitely do that. Yeah.
So please give him money because like these are crappy cords and like I can tell they're crappy and like I feel
we
bad.
We accept even
talking
Amazon gift cards. Wow. We accept Sweetwater gift cards. Yeah. Please.
Oh,
help out.
Send us money.
Please.
Help us. We're poor.
Miranda. No one loves money more than Miranda.
I really do.
We need to revive that video of her with the money.
This is Christy Avery talking. I did not introduce you, but thank you, Christy, for being a generous patron. Sign up at We Are Libertarians on
join
the website.
Join Wall Plus.
Yes. I'm not calling it Wall Plus anymore because that didn't work at all. So we're just calling it the Patreon.
That's not what Patreon. Didn't work.
Yeah, shut up. All right.
Yeah, we don't talk about things that don't work. With
yeah, are we live right now?
No.
Live?
You
anybody?
Can't hear?
Fake live?
Yeah. Her mic is just kind of low.
I think that was on purpose.
Yes.
Asshole.
No, yeah. We're back to podcast hospice.
I don't know which one she is. Talk, Christy, talk.
Talk. I should have brought my dog.
No, you shouldn't have.
Would be more fun.
Miranda, what have you been up to?
Oh, God. I really everything and nothing. I've been laying low for a while, but yeah, I'm getting around, you know.
Nice.
I run these streets.
Yes. Host of Miranda's World and just a delightful person. Thank you so much for being here. We've invited you the last three times, but what happened?
Oh, God. I mean, really, the same thing that tried to get me to be late today. Just, and I'm really not used to even really having plans is really the biggest part of it. So it's like, I'll just wake up, like, I forget, like, I have something to do, somewhere to be. Sometimes I definitely overslept because I worked. There's been
you have, like, the perfect life where you don't have to look at a calendar.
I know. I've been balls deep in that for a while now. And it's like, I earned it, though. You know what I mean? It's like, I raised my kid. I did it all. It's like now I'm just like, oh, wow, I just get to do what I want to do. And now I'm like, okay, at some point, though, I got to regain some type of, you know, structure.
Your daughter is graduated high school now?
God, yeah, she graduated actually early. And so she graduated October 2019. And yeah, she's getting ready to be 21 on Monday.
Oh, she's going to start drinking.
Smoking too.
Start drinking.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't have.
Yeah, you're not allowed to drink until you're
anymore.
21 in this state. So obviously, she hasn't been doing anything illegal.
What'd you say, Miranda?
I won't have to go in and buy her vapes anymore. No, she'll still make me because it's like cold, and she also just looks like
toads still half the time.
What does that mean?
She doesn't. This girl is so funny, and she just doesn't care. She does care though, only when she wants to. But it's like, yeah, we just walk around. She has this big blue North Face puffy coat, mm-hmm. and then she has this like blue beanie that she wears underneath it. And she wears the hood up, and she does. She just looks like a little toadstool.
Oh my gosh, she's
walking around looking like Veruca Salt from like the Willy Wonka movies.
She's fucking acting like it. I can tell you that.
Poor Vincent. He's self-conscious about his laugh now.
You told me to mute if I laughed.
Laughed into your... It was like you were sneezing. It was very funny. Went into your elbow.
You gotta dampen it somehow.
You're not allowed to enjoy your time here. Like, I swear if you fucking laugh, I'll just end you right now.
It's fine. I'm used to it.
All right, let's talk about nothing serious for at least a few minutes. So if you want to hear something serious, this is not probably going to be the episode. We will talk about doxing because James, that's what's on everybody's mind apparently. As much as I don't want to talk about that guy anymore. Christmas plans. Mm-hmm. Should we talk about Christmas plans? Should we talk about our favorite Christmas toy, our favorite Christmas memory? What do you think, Harry? What would be a fun topic?
I like the idea of you could do for like favorite Christmas toy, maybe, I don't know, because like my toys are completely different than the toys everyone else would buy at this table.
Okay. Why? Right up there.
because I have different and niche interests.
Tell us about Gunther's laptop. She's in what grade?
She's in the fifth she's kindergarten.
Kindergarten. And she has what on her laptop?
Her school laptop has, just all that crap stuff, but on her laptop, she's got VMware on it, but she's also got a.
I meant stickers.
She's got Minecraft. She has a, what is it? She's got a Hack5 sticker on there. She's got a Wi-Fi pineapple sticker on there. I've got a Burp Suite sticker on there. I've got a.
Can you translate what any of that means, Paul?
I absolutely not.
And she's got a. And I sent her to school for Hat Day with the Hacker Quarterly 2600 shirt hat on. So
does she understand what any of that is?
I doubt it.
No. But I enjoy the idea that I'm sure the people who see her in that actually understand what any of this stuff means, probably scared in there. But especially when they saw her, because when I sent her with a Chromebook, I put my case on top of it, not their crappy case they sent home. I was like, this case is junk. What is this, Chinese-made piece of junk?
What would she like to put on her laptop instead of that?
Mostly Minecraft. Okay. And or Minecraft stickers, or what else she's into, dinosaurs. I have no idea why she's still fixated with dinosaurs, and she will correct people around them if they mispronounce a dinosaur name incorrectly.
So what did she say when you put Hacker 5 stickers on there and pineapple, which is like these are obscure tech things that
Animal Crossing stickers on there too.
What did she say when you put that on there?
She's like, thanks daddy, I want more stickers.
Kids are awesome.
Stickers. She likes stickers.
Everybody loves stickers.
Yeah.
So what when you were a kid, were you always a weirdo?
Yeah pretty much all the way through.
Were you always into I'm not going to say obscure tech stuff, because when people think of tech, they think iPhones and social media.
That's not tech. And if you just game on your phone, you're not a gamer. I'm sorry.
I'd play Angry Birds, and I'm very good at it.
Don't let Spangle lie to you. He is a Nintendo gamer, okay?
Harry over here claiming PC Master Race over everything else.
Because it is. It's PC gaming master race. Our frames are moving at a faster pace. Okay.
All right. Too bad that games aren't developed for that, though.
At work, we bought a video editing computer. Vincent, mute yourself.
Wow.
Look, I just have... sound purity, all right? It's partially that seat is because there's so much open space behind you that it picks up all kinds of room noise. We built an editing computer, a PC, mm-hmm. and it doesn't work. The Mac computer that is from 2013 works perfectly still.
I've seen the people that you work with, and that makes sense.
That has nothing to do with it. We have professional tech people that you've never met. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Paul.
I'm just wondering, how did you botch building a PC? My stupid ass managed to build two.
I didn't build anything, which is why it's not working, but yeah, it's not... I have no reason to build a computer for anybody.
Yeah, yeah. It really does sound like it's more of the not the machine's fault. It's the person that is putting it together or trying to troubleshoot it. And yeah. Like I said, I've seen the people you work with. That makes perfect sense. Why? Oh, get the Apple. It just works out of the box because you don't need any knowledge. Just to hit the power button.
So, that's right.
Yeah. So,
but it's fine. What kind of weird things did you ask for Christmas?
This year or like
when you were a kid? I want to know like how deep because. I don't personally really feel like you're a nerd. Like you have different interests than me, but like I wouldn't be like you're a nerd.
Wow, he's making me put my nerd cred on the line.
Have you met Harry?
Vincent, like, at all? Nerd.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm a nerd.
But I learned it from him.
I feel like he's more of a geek.
I think it's fair to say we're all nerds at this table.
Probably, yes.
In some sense.
Like except James. James is I don't know.
He's cooler. An
internet
than that.
Goblin. It's fine.
I have like
internet goblin. Yes.
Perfect. Underneath my desk right now, I have D20 dice and like 500 Magic the Gathering cards.
Spangle, Harry's literally holding a book about the history of Schrodinger's cat. How is he not a nerd?
All right, I stand corrected. You're right. You're a nerd.
Yeah. So last year for Christmas, I put a lot of physics books onto my list because I've been waking like some people know I get up at 4 a.m. Which everyone should do. It's awesome. It's amazing. I love it. But I get up and I read for a good 30 minutes. Good time to find get to do dishes. Just basically just start your day. And yeah, last year, let's say I got six easy pieces, six not so easy pieces, which is great. In the Search of Schrodinger's Cat, great book by John Gribson. I also recommend Quantum, which is an also great history of really want to get into physics.
I will.
I'm
trying to blow my nose, so I was letting you just talk about what.
I didn't you know what you were doing. You just reached into your bag and like, pulled out.
When did all this start?
Honestly, like real early on, because like
honestly, you just started to tip into the spectrum as opposed to nerddom. Like,
most kids. Their dads will take them to go fishing and do other different things when they're young. Not my dad. My dad woke me up on Saturday mornings to go to computer like swap meets and computer shows here around Indianapolis. So I would get up early in the morning and go to computer shows and get new parts for different PCs, swap out parts that we have because back in the day, like, you know, we didn't have like newegg.com to get on stuff like that, you know, because in the heyday, the internet was very, very young. And then because my dad is an IT technician. So I'm a second generation IT person.
Right.
So like I've already always had computers around me. It was just something that was just around, and
it was almost like your Legos.
Yeah.
Did you have your own little computer to play with and build with and screw around with?
Yes. I had actually two different computers. I had like an older one, and I remember upgrading my 386 to my 486DX. Then I had a couple server parts that had like two different 486s on
the board.
This is
like what, 90s?
Yeah, this is still the 90s. I remember like even getting like a – because I used to surf the internet with a 14.4K modem. And I used to get free internet service from Kmart because Kmart would give out the internet service and they would put the stupid ad bar under there. But if you crashed Explorer in Windows 95, it would not load the ad back again. So you purposely crashed Explorer, but Explorer would crash all the time back then. And you could just surf the internet for free.
So what sort of stuff did you ask for Christmas?
Sometimes I would ask for like a faster modem or different heat sink for the
What's
fans.
A heat sink?
Heat sink basically just helps draw heat from the CPU or different pieces are on the board, mostly the CPU.
You know? I like how Christmas became Harry teaching Spangle about 90s tech.
Yeah. Or I get more RAM because I definitely always need more RAM, or I fill up more hard drive space because unless someone got into SCSI drives because like hard drives are really small. So if you wanted to store more things, I remember saving up or asking for I got my 10 gigabit hard drive. I love that little thing. Or just getting more floppy drives.
Bougie enough to have a second like phone line specifically for your modem so you weren't interrupted?
We were.
No. That's the main reason. I always thought I was a night owl, stay up all night, but no, it was just more of habit because I have three sisters. It was just staying up late so I could just use the phone line. Yeah.
The war of you just waited until they went to sleep and then you actually had a chance to be on your internet.
Correct. Well, yeah, because I had a computer in my room. I remember going into school and talking about things I found online to some people and they looked at me like I got three heads. It was like, what is the internet? What is all this? I was like,
You went to high school with Miranda, right?
Correct. Yes.
Were you in the same grade?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. What was his reputation?
Okay.
Be honest.
So.
And did you even know who he was?
I mean, I do recall him, but it's like, no, honestly, the thing is, I had moved out and I was at, like, would moved out for the first time and was dating that guy. So I didn't even start high school until, halfway through my freshman year.
Okay.
Cause I broke up with him and moved back home.
And you then, heard that right. She was 15 and moved in with the guy.
I was 14 when I moved in.
Oh, Jesus.
So.
All right. We're not going to ask what you got for Christmas. Okay.
Well, we'll go there. No, but, so yeah, I usually didn't make it past second period. we would just, I'd find people that wanted to go smoke weed and we would go.
Did you graduate?
No, I didn't. I got pregnant at 15. Right. I had her at 16. And so I thought about trying to go back, because I really do love to learn, but I just couldn't. There was no way. I didn't even know what I was going to do to support us or whatever. So that just wasn't an option. But as soon as I turned 18, I took the test and got my GED.
So you really didn't know much about Harry because you weren't around?
Nobody. I really didn't know anybody much from high school. I mean, more people from middle school. Cause yeah, in high school, I really wasn't there much.
Did you know about Miranda?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
shit.
Yeah.
Should I ask what her reputation was?
Oh, man. As a nerd, I'm going to plead the fifth on that one. I'm going to, you know. But anyways, yeah.
The girl who left at second period because she was smoking weed?
Well, yeah. Well, because like some of the friends I met in like doing wrestling and stuff like that, yes, they like they have smoked with Miranda during school or would skip with them. And actually, the people that got me to skip the first time on my senior year, yeah, was those exact same people. Yeah.
Who is it?
You remember Stephen? Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What do you think your reputation was? What do you think he was going to say?
Oh, I mean, I don't know. I was excited to hear it. I was like, I hope it's like a hot chick situation or something. I mean,
yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah. Because yeah, we, yeah. Yeah. It was that. Yeah. I didn't want to do that. Okay, but yeah. Because yeah. I was freshman, sophomore year.
She was what? The Holy Grail? Is that?
Yeah, no. we would. Okay, so honestly, some of the guys would sit there and debate like which one was hotter versus Miranda and another girl whose name I'm not going to say.
Ooh, no, drop it.
Say the first name.
No,
say
no.
Say the first name.
No.
What does
no.
it start with? Maybe she'll know that.
No.
We'll talk about it off the air. Off the air. No. Not right. on the record. Right,
no. Hold on. The record. Everybody be, really everybody be quiet. We're going to mute and you're going to tell her. No. And then hold on. We're muted. You have to tell her the
I
name.
You know?
So what'd you say?
I became good friends with her little brother.
Who, and Miranda's?
So, no.
Oh, the hot chick's little
yeah,
brother.
Yeah, okay. yeah.
So Miranda and this girl were in a competition for hottest girl in the group.
That moment when you said that and Miranda looked into space like, all right, who had a little brother that he'd be friends with?
I know. Do you know who it is?
I almost like, said his name so numbers, she would like,
saw the numbers fall, like, come out in front of her
hard
head like the memes.
With brothers. I mean, so it's like some of the...
You had a hard time with brothers?
Some of the like hot chick... the really hot, cool chicks that I knew are like off the top of my head... They had sisters. One of them had an older brother, Chico.
Anyways, yeah. It was
Let me just mute it again, and then you... All right. No. Tell her off air.
It is crazy. We should find out. I want
to
know.
We do need to take a quick break. My wife is calling, and so maybe during the break you can
wait till the facial expression changes on the yearbook. There you go. That one.
We're just burning money.
Yes.
That's an angel talking on your shoulder. Listen to the devil. We
need that check for the internet.
Yeah.
Apply for that grant. Get the internet draining.
The thing about having in like a studio or just a podcast like network and professional, like I'm a professional podcaster and I record stuff, is you're constantly buying equipment. Mm-hmm. Like this place, so the reason it's called the Doolittle Studios is thanks to Jason. We're back, by the way. Yeah. You didn't miss anything. We were talking about something else when I started rolling again, but it's the Doolittle Studios because Jason so graciously sent us several $100 for the permanent naming rights of the studio, and I wanted to buy furniture, but we never got the ability to buy like furniture and make it like. I'm glad we didn't do it that way, where we had like four seats.
Yeah,
because I think this is way better, where we can have eight people if we want.
Mm-hmm.
There's just always another mic clip or another cord or another mic foam for windscreen or, you know, it never ends. And half this shit doesn't work after being in storage for 3 years. And I don't know why, but
I blame Mittens. Really?
I do too. mite. So casting off mites, that little.
So we always have needs, and I think right now we need to get some stuff on the walls to do sound dampening. That would be really cool.
I think that'd help. So yeah, the sound quality will continue to improve. Morale will not, but sound quality will always go up as we continue to kind of put the pieces back. But it's so much fun to have everybody here and Christy and be together in one place. I'm just kidding. And it's great to see Miranda and James. James, why are you the way you are? What were you like as a kid? What did you ask for Christmas?
I can remember one Christmas where like Resident Evil 2 just came out, right? And like, you know, my grandma's kind of religious, so she looked at the artwork on it and she's like, oh Jesus, no, that's fucking violent.
Literally,
shit.
Oh Jesus, no.
You know, so I'm like, you know, ready for Christmas, and I see some PlayStation game sized like presents, right? So I'm like, oh shit, I got fucking Resident Evil 2, dude. I'm going to blast a fucking zombie in the face.
And
right?
You were probably like in kindergarten when you said, oh shit, fucking
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, I'm ready to go, right? So like I opened it up and it's fucking Busby 3D, and like, and like at that point I hated Christmas ever since.
What is Busby 3D?
Literally one of the worst games. Trash platforming games you've ever seen played.
It's very early 3D version of a platformer, but they don't understand the controls for a 3D platformer at that point. So it's like, here's all these polygons and this cat platforming character, and you can't land on anything.
So your grandma basically took the game you wanted and replaced it with something that was safe.
Yeah, it was like rated E for everyone, which should have been E for fucking terrible because the game was because like but the game was so bad. Like I tried to play it a couple times, I got through like one level and it was just jank. Like the controls were jank, the video was jank, and I'm like, grandma, this game's kind of bad. The other game she got me was Mega Man Legends, which was pretty good, right?
Yeah.
But, like, I wanted Resident Evil 2, so it's like, you know what? Like, my dad's kind of been drinking a little bit. Let's go to GameStop real quick, right? So my dad's at GameStop, and he gets me Resident Evil 2. We swap the game out, pay $20, get Resident Evil 2. And I'm like, you know, I'm going to play through it. So I'm, like, DualShock controller running through it. But my Christmas was always like that, where it was like, I got, like, a bunch of stuff. But my grandma would like Jesus it up a bit, and it was just disappointing.
So you got like a Ken doll, and she put it on a cross.
Yeah, but she bought me anime too because she's like, oh, he likes those Japanese cartoons, right? So one time, my grandma bought me Ninja Scroll, right? Because I'm like,
oh no,
11 years old or something, right? Because she's like, she goes to like FYE or something. She's like, I need some anime for my kid, you know, because he watches like Sailor Moon and shit,
right?
So she gets like Ninja Scroll and like. Puts in the area. I'm like, oh, this looks cool. It's Samurai. And I'm like, holy fuck. He's just like fucking raping that girl, dude.
Oh, no.
It's like, I like put it in, right? And I'm like, oh, it starts out normally, just like some like samurai walking through there. And it's like, holy fuck, they're fucking, dude. And it's like, I'm like sitting there watching it. I'm like, okay, let's go on ye old compact presario and see what else we got on here about this stuff. And I'm just clicking through, right? Like, okay, what's this? And it's like, holy shit, like this one, it's like, that's a huge fucking titties, right? And
and you're 11?
I would have been normal, right? If my grandma in her Jesus fervor didn't see like, oh, this is like a cute anime title in the front. Hold because hentai is deceptive, right? The cover on it looks like a normal, fun anime, but like when you put it in, it's
that's
like,
what I keep telling Paul. Yeah. Paul swears all these Asian cartoons are normal, but... You see one fat set of titties at 11, you end up like James' niece.
Mm-hmm. Chris, I tell you straight up, watch whatever you want to, like, if you think it's a series that a younger person that you want to give content to, watch it first, because you don't want a James' niece in your life.
We are in a full agreement on that, for sure. So you really think that it's the anime titties at 11 that made you this way?
Well, it was that, then, like, my dad being like drunk every holiday, so I could like raid his wallet for stuff. So like I'd raid his wallet and then go like to the store and buy Diablo 2, Lord of Destruction and stuff. And then I had a friend named Ian, who Paul knows Ian, and like he got a computer into his house, right? So like the reason I got banned from Ian's house on the computer was I'd go over there every day and we'd play like Legends of Dragoon or whatever, right? We'd just fuck around like Final Fantasy. And his mom was like, you know, busy dating some guy, she wasn't home, but they had one family computer, And I was like, you know, like, Ian, dude, like, check out this website I found at the library, right?
At the library.
So it was like,
some librarian's 87 years old walking by and sees fat anime titties and little James Neese just double clicking his mouse.
Like, he can validate the story. He can straight up validate the story, but it was like a listserv of like doujin, right? So like, I'm like, yo, like, cause we watch anime like Rurouni Kenshin and stuff like that. So we're going through this listserv and like came across a game called Spunky Knight, right? So Spunky Knight was a comic series that's kind of like
ever had a grim. Spunky Knight. Anybody?
So, but can't talk about that.
Yeah, Miranda.
But his mom came home, right?
Sounds like Miranda's nickname in high school is Spunky Knight.
Like she got on the computer to do her job, right? And she typed an S for something. She's gonna go like, you know, the search bar to find something for her work. And she sees Spunky and she thinks it's like a Christmas gift for him. And she goes through the whole web series and she's like, that is degenerate. And she's like, Ian, who fucking showed you this? She's like, fucking James did. And it's like, so I got banned from the house.
I had something similar. We had the internet in 93 and we had just gotten the computer. But I think we got it for like Christmas time, a gateway. Mm-hmm. And so I was always a political nerd. So I went to whitehouse.com. And we had had it maybe 2 weeks, and I was probably 10, maybe 9, and I'm like, type whitehouse.com, and there is a man in a Bill mask fucking Hillary in the ass in a Hillary mask. It was a porn website, and my mom walked in at that exact moment. She goes, damn it, Mike, I told you he just watched porn on this damn thing. We have to get rid of this. Eventually I did, but
the thing is, like, the internet's not like that anymore. It's all like social media, Instagram, right? But back in the day, the wild, wild west, you can just like go to some weird ass like GeoCities or Angel Fire
website. We were talking about that last episode, how much better Web.1 was. Because you go, if you were interested in something, you could go to like Bartleby.com and just get the full text of every classic book you wanted. You know, you could just, it was just text on text as opposed to whatever we have now, which is horrible.
It's still like that. The problem is a lot of you normies are on it now, and you guys can't be fathomed to go to any other site besides Facebook, Twitter, but on the other sites, you guys can't go and go search for anything. That's why you guys still use your normie search engines, your normie.
Use Pornhub.
If you want to see Bill,
normie. Okay, moving on.
Yeah, moving on. But I am trying to get all my achievements on Pornhub. I'm so close. I've got my account. I got so many achievements
haram.
On there.
That's total haram.
I'm an achievement hunter. What? Okay. All right. I already have. I know.
In more ways than one.
Yeah. I even got the model achievement on there. I made a dollar. Okay. All right.
So Reinhold, did you just get like Howard Zinn books when you were a little kid, or what kind of things were you into?
When I was a little kid, it was a little bit different than what these guys had, where I didn't have computers and all that stuff.
You didn't survive the winter, right?
So
did you? Even have punch card computers back then? When were you a kid? Like what decade? 70s?
Yeah, so I grew up in the 70s. I was born in 66. So I was, you know, raised pretty much in the 70s.
Okay,
And graduated in the early 80s. So when I was growing up, it was much more like we would have occasional electronic games to play, but they were very, very I don't know if you remember the old football game where you just go up and down and this way.
Right.
That was my favorite when I was growing up because that was just like the coolest high tech thing we had at the time, right?
You had crazy shit like talking to each other and books.
I got into books when I was a kid, so I did a lot of reading and then did a lot of playing with erector sets and models and things like that, which who knows about erector sets these days, right?
No, right.
But that's how I learned how things work, how you build things. And then when I was just, you know, like 10, 11, 12 years old, my family decided to start building a house behind the house we had because that was the whole idea is the house we were living in wasn't really that great. So they want to build a new house. So
right.
I spent years just helping them build that house and laying stone, putting up 2x4s. So I was learning all of that stuff, learning how to work on cars, learning stuff that was kind of important until my senior year when we finally had personal computers at the school. Then I got one at home too because they were – Texas Instruments was getting rid of their personal computer line, so the TI-99 was out for like $50. You could get a TI-99, and it was a real basic computer. You had to program everything in. To save anything, you had to save it on a cassette tape, and you get to hear the sound of how that sounds when you're listening to it. But that's how you would save programs and things like that on
so,
there.
So you were always into tech stuff pretty early too then?
I was only into tech stuff when I was in high school. I was convinced I was going to go be a computer programmer. That's what I was going to do. I wanted to be an engineer. I wanted to build computers, learn how to make
Aren't
computers.
Aren't you kind of doing that now?
Yeah. Kind of doing that now. But yeah. I was going to go to Rose Holman. I got accepted in there. Then the snafu happened and they wanted me to go to a junior college for a semester and then transfer in because I didn't have physics in high school. Mm. And I was 17 and I said, screw you if you know what I mean. Ended up going to DeVry and having a whole thing and then joined in the Navy, learning how to run nuclear power plants and then went down a whole path of working on truck fan clutches for like 4 or 5 years. Because I was good at it, and I was also doing like inventory things, but didn't finally get back into computers. But I was always into computers as a kid. So when Harry's talking about his first modem being a 14.4, I was like, my first modem was when I was 19, 20. Oh, no, I was 21 when I got the first computer with a modem in it. It was 150 baud. And the first personal computer I had, we were sitting there trying to figure out how to put a 10 megabit hard drive attached to it through an MRL, you know, through a controller. So you had to go into the debug mode and do a bunch of really esoteric stuff in there. You guys have it so much better these days.
Reinhold is a child of the bot. I'm a grandchild of the bot.
Yes.
Thanks to people like Reinhold, I was able just to hook a phone line up to, and I'd take the whole phone and shove it in some suction cup thing.
Oh, yeah. The suction cup thing was really fun, too. That was a good one.
Reinhold's probably old enough like where he was like an adult during like when the dot-com boom started to happen. Oh, yeah. So like, I just imagine him in like a Ross Perot shirt on a libertarian Usenet site.
You're not wrong, because let me tell you. So when the internet thing hit, when people started getting on the internet, I was doing bulletin boards myself about that time, but I was already divorced after my first marriage when this happened. So I'm on the internet. I'm in Usenet groups and I'm writing libertarian articles and stuff like that, which you can still go and search and find my name. If you search my name in alt politics libertarian, I'm in there.
I know. I have the listserv from the LL2, which is the Libertarian Left Alliance 2, going back to like the 90s. You're in there.
Oh, yeah.
You're a very intelligent person. So, like, were you, I forget, I know what I wanted to ask you. All right. So, you know, we were born into the internet, you know, fairly early.
I was molded by it.
Right. We were kind of, you know, I'm 39, so I was a teenager, so I remember like card catalogs at the library and traditional research techniques, but also like hybrid with the internet. But like, was the development of the computer and the internet when you were coming up sort of like Bitcoin, where people like, oh, this is a fad, this is never going to catch on, because they didn't quite understand it, so they just kind of crapped on it? Or was it very clearly like a revolution that was going to change everything?
Well, I saw it as a revolution that's going to change everything. There's a lot of people who just thought that computers are for work. Why do you have one in your house? You don't need one in there. I remember famously John Dvorak said that, why would anybody use a mouse? That was the stupidest thing ever. Right. So when I was growing up, though, it was, you couldn't find information like you do now. Like I wanted to learn something, I had to go to the library or some other place like that and search through things and do research and find a book that might have something in there, read through the whole. It was a
librarians pain. Used to know things other than pronouns, Paul.
It used to be such a pain, but learning what I wanted to do for the rest of my life as a career. I lived in a small country town. I didn't, you know, we had like a couple, like 30 people in my graduating class, 30, 40 people. So it wasn't like we had access to, you can do all of this stuff. It was just, you had like five things. Most of the people there were just going to go into take over the family farm and move on. You know, it wasn't a lot of, you know, a lot of research where I could just go and say, hey, these are all the things I could do. Here's a whole YouTube video series on how this works and what kind of job this is and what kind of job that is. So I kind of had to kind of figure it out. And I envy everybody who didn't have to worry about that. They come up with all of this information right at your fingertips. It's amazing.
I don't know. I feel like that's sort of overwhelming for kids today. That there's like, you almost people almost I don't remember this being the case as a kid, because you went to the grocery store whatever the grocery store had, you bought it. Now it's like we're almost paralyzed by choice. There's so much choice.
I mean, I can see that, but also remember when I was growing up, and this is the thing I think is the greatest thing about the internet, is that I grew up in, you know, a small country town, and a lot of those people are a certain way, right? You know?
So you I were wasn't not that popular way. In high school.
I was not popular in high school. I was beat up a lot. It was a whole thing. But I was into things that nobody else liked. So I'm like thinking I'm the only person who likes this stuff.
I feel like that's very formative information, Harry.
Yeah. It makes perfect sense.
But when you get to the internet and you can find out that there's a whole community of people who are like you, that you can go, oh, I'm not alone. I'm not, you know, there's not something wrong with me. I'm just different than these people. So that I happen to be born or live next to, right? So finding that out was a huge mind shift when that happened.
Would you say you got esikied into like this reality? Because it's like you know, nerd gets bullied in high school, like leaves town, you know, and goes into the world of like libertarian Usenet groups and Ross Perot fanfare.
I was defending Ross Perot for years, and then I finally decided that was a waste of time. But that's kind of the track. It was just that I was kind of like an outcast for a long time. So I'm looking at different ways to. So I'm seeing things in a different light than a lot of people. And my early involvement in the internet, when it was still just bulletin boards and CompuServe, it wasn't really what it is now. It was hard. It was still kind of difficult to get into stuff, but when you did, it was amazing. When you find a bulletin board that had some fun stuff. I used to be on this thing called the Rhyme Network, where it was, you would download all the these messages. You would respond to the ones you wanted to. You'd create a file. You upload it back up. They would combine them together and send them out, and then you'd get a new batch the next day. And that's how we communicate. It wasn't like real-time communications at that time. So that's where I learned writing about politics and that news groups and things like that. That's where I started writing. And I've been doing that ever since.
Miranda, I know you had, let's call it an esoteric childhood, an eclectic, but like, was there a toy or an interest that you had as a kid that you were just like really into that you were excited that you got one year?
Well, I mean, I loved Barbies, so I wanted Barbies every year. But I do remember when I got my Sega Genesis. Oh my god, I loved it! I would play Sonic. Oh gosh, I had a few different I had this like little the Seven Up guy. Yep, game. I had that Seven Up game. That was
cool
fire.
Spot. Cool spot. Cool spot.
Yes. Just silly stuff like that. I was just on my own most of the time as a kid. So I like to just play with my Barbies. I like to ride my bike, go on little, you know, like adventures. I usually took my Barbies with me. that's probably why I got a boob job. See, big titties shaped my childhood too.
All of us, I think, were shaped by big titties.
Everybody loves big titties.
That's true. That's true.
Christy, you have big titties. I mean, how did they shape your childhood?
Wow. I was just sitting here looking at your big titties.
Very good. Miranda, so like, did you have like a bunch of friends, or were you just sort of, you said you're isolated, so like, Where did you grow up? Like apartments or house or what?
Apartments. Yeah. My grandparents had an apartment. It used to be Westlake Apartments, and now it's like a bullet. They've added something to it. But it's just weird. I had such a strange like upbringing too. So it's like, I really didn't have a lot of friends.
How did that all kind of like, when you were raising your daughter, did you intentionally kind of think, I'm going to do these things differently because of the way that I was raised?
Oh, for sure. That's what shaped, I mean, a lot of the things I did. I didn't even necessarily know what I was doing, but I kind of used those things as a guide, just things that I wanted that I didn't have, or things that, you know, maybe stood out to me. So yeah, that's why when she was ready to start school, I moved to Fishers. I wanted her to go to, you know, Hamilton Southeastern School District, whatever. Just things like that, you know, I don't know. It's just weird things that I tried to do. And it's funny because when it's happening, you don't really know if it matters or if they care or what, you know. And also she hated me for so many years. So I was like, but now it's like those memories like still stick with her. And like, so even with the Christmas baking and this stuff, it's like, yeah, she really enjoys like those memories of the things that I tried to do for her childhood, I guess.
What are some of those things?
Decorating for the holidays, you know, just the things that I guess were pretty like cookie cutter for me, like as far as like, you know, I don't know, things you would see on TV or thing. Because again, I really didn't have a lot of like, I guess, social, you know, interaction or whatever as with my own childhood. So it was just like the things that I thought were important, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you play Alter Beast?
Alter Beast?
No.
All right. So Alter Beast was like a game on Sega, right? Where you start as like a normal dude and you get like a power up. So you get like swole. Then you get like swoller. And then you turn to a fucking furry, right? And you splash shit. Like it was like a super fun game because you turned into like a wolf man. And then like there's a lot of fanfic about it when you go look up Alter Beast fanfic.
Oh my God.
Disgusting. Don't go there.
The fact that you went to that part of it, it was a side scrolling beat 'em up. It was a fun actual game. And then Nice made it degenerate like he always does.
The closest thing I had to probably being like a cool game like that would be Beavis and Butthead to America.
Yeah. Yes.
You also had that Ronald McDonald game where you collected the gems and you kind of like, McDonald's gave like a Sega game. They made their own Sega game where it's like you got to play Ronald McDonald and you went around collecting gems while freeing like the fucking Grimace, right? So I played that like 30 times where like I freed the Grimace. And it's like, oh, Grimace, you're free. So is the Hamburglar and these fucking Fry Kids. You know what I mean? It's like, whatever. It'll play this whole game.
I remember, I had like the Sega version of the Game Boy. Game Gear. And I had racing games. Oh. Yes. I had a Game Boy too.
The Game Gear, the battery killer that lasted for like 2 hours on a full new set of batteries.
I loved that thing. I still had it. One of the coolest gifts I ever got was a portable television. It was like a little handheld TV. The screen was like 10 inches by 10 inches. It was tiny. But I watched the invasion of Iraq on that. Oh. I still had it in 2003, and I took it to work to watch the shock and awe.
Yeah.
I think those go ahead, Eric.
I was going to say those have gotten more popular now because people are building them into cyberdecks.
Yeah.
Which if you want a good time sink, get on Reddit, go to our cyberdeck, and watch people build computers out of old machines to make like that cyberpunkyish little fun thing. I think my favorite one I've seen so far was a VGA cabled keyboard, which is really neat. So yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. So like, I had a good childhood, and then my parents got divorced when I was 15, and everything kind of fell apart. And I think when you, I don't know how many of you are from divorced homes or from like, let's say alternative families like Miranda and I, like Christmas is like, I have a lot of good memories, but like Christmas, it all distills down into Christmas. There's something about Christmas as a kid. Like my happiest memory in life is like the fire going, the tree lit up, my family's watching like a Christmas show, we're all together in the same room, you know, I remember my mom probably like scratching my head, like just that warm feeling of just happiness and togetherness kind of before that feeling of disintegration, right? Like there's something about Christmas where I think especially if you're from a family that's, you know, not together, you really like appreciate that more than anything else. I don't know. Were your parents together, Christy? Or
it's kind of a weird story. My dad moved away. They didn't get divorced. He moved away to find better work or whatever because he had an army buddy down in the South. So he moved 500 miles away from us. And that was probably when I was in high school and I have two younger brothers. So that was kind of weird. And then around my college graduation is when they had the big fight and filed for divorce. So good times.
But good times. Like, does Christmas kind of stand out to you too?
Yeah, a little bit. Normally, now I only have one parent left. So we do Christmas normally on Christmas Day. This year, with my nephew being divorced and kids and different things, we're doing it at noon on Christmas Eve. So that's kind of weird.
Yeah. Vincent, you shook your head about Christmas and your different family.
So my parents got divorced when I was 13. Okay. So before that, every holiday we would end up spending it with my mom's family because my dad's family lives in Kentucky for the most part, or right on the border of Kentucky.
Which is how you're related to Harry, right? Is that the same family?
My dad's family? No.
Okay.
No. His wife is my cousin.
Okay.
All right. So that's how.
But then on your side, that's
my mom. His wife is your mom's sister's daughter.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So for me, it's more of that. But we also had a technically had a blended family because my mom had my older brother like 7 years before me, and I was my dad's first child. So there was a lot of issues that came up with the fact that my brother was technically not was not my dad's. So there was a point where we went down to see his family on Christmas, and they gave me and my sister gifts, but not my brother.
Oh, that's shitty.
So we never went back there for Christmas. So there's that. So it's more of like especially before my grandma passed, most Christmas was we all go to my grandma's house and we do stuff there. And you could definitely tell when things started to spiral out of control, because you could start seeing how the toxic threads of my grandma spread out onto everybody. Mm. And then the moment that she's not there, everybody kind of did their own thing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that kind of
that
weirdness.
That happened with us, where it was, you know, from when I was 13, my grandparents got in a fight, so we stopped seeing my dad's family. My dad's great-grandparents died, and they're the ones that got everybody together, so we stopped seeing everybody on my dad's side within a year. Then on my mom's side, my grandpa died. The family got too big. They stopped getting together. So, and then my parents divorced. So it was like in a year and a half, my nuclear and extended family just disappeared. So it was like Christmas specifically, Thanksgiving and Christmas Day became like these treasured memories. And still to this day, like I get very nostalgic about Thanksgiving, because it's like going to those families where even if it was a bunch of like crazy people, it was everybody was together. Mm-hmm. You know, and as you kind of get older, especially in your 20s, you don't have that. Like nobody gets together as much. Now that we all kind of have kids, we're all like a little bit more intentional about it. But yeah, I mean, Christmas was like that thing that kind of held everything together, and where everybody at least tried, Vincent.
That you'd think that? There are definitely times where they attempted to, but there's plenty of times where my family just didn't try or they didn't care. I could definitely tell my own disinterest in Christmas slowly started to build throughout the years, especially like when you start going to your family for Christmas and you realize, oh, all these people here really hate each other, but they don't want to say anything.
Right.
And you can just feel the tension. So half of the Christmas was me and Harry sitting in a corner talking about video games and comic books, because that was the only way for that those days went by at a decent rate.
You and Lacey have been together a long time. So like, how old were you when you first met Harry?
03.
Yeah. So I was born in 94. So nine.
Age. Nine. Yeah. So he was pretty influential on you then.
I mean, well, we talked about this on one of the episodes of Low Key Wall. If you watch, we actually had a full conversation in which Harry was speechless because we talked about that.
There are many hundreds of thousands more listeners.
Wow. Yes, well, yes.
It's the future number three episode show on the network.
That's right. Wow. Yeah. Wow. So repeat it just for the people who haven't heard it.
Well, basically, for the most part of my life, once I hit about 13, especially after the divorce, and my parents' divorce. And I was moving to a new area where I knew nobody, because we moved up from the IPS schools, and I moved up here to go to LC. And then also I had just ended my first ever relationship I ever had when I was 13. And I was just kind of like adrift in high school. And then it just so happened I lived in the same complex as Harry and Lacey.
Oh, cool.
And that they ended up when Harry was like, I'm going to do something, he just grabbed me and we just did stuff.
Were you like, this child is sad and needs a role model, or what? Like,
yes.
Were you just sort of, were you like, because I would have been the same way. I've been like, I feel bad for Vincent. I'm going to draw him in and help him out, or what?
It was more like this sad kid, and I know that he needed help. I know, and I felt like, for lack of a better term, like not try to help fix the situation that is, at least make it not so crap or
miserable.
Shitty. Yeah. And get him out of the house, you know, just sitting in it and just go off and do something. And I like having people around me. You know, I collect people like I collected Paul. You know?
Yeah.
By the way, Paul, thanks for being here today.
Yeah. No
problem. All right, Harry, go ahead.
Gotta catch them all.
Are you Pokemoning right now?
No.
Okay. What are you watching?
No, he's playing different else. He's playing something else.
Wow. This is why I don't call on you. You're not paying attention.
I am paying perfect attention. The ADHD is strong.
Yep. So the Adderall has run out of the cookies.
But
all right, let's end with doxing. Is doxing free speech?
Yes.
Harry, what do you think?
Okay, so technically doxing...
Define doxing, please.
Doxing is posting someone's information on where they are in real, basically real time. Where are they? So like posting, like if you posted Spangle's address or you posted this is where something is, especially with malicious intent, and somebody put out there. So like it's not doxing, if someone goes like, hey, I have a business, they put that information out there and you're just kind of sharing that around, that's not doxing. But if like Chip is saying that, hey, this is where Spangle is living, this is the, this is the apartment that he lives out there in Bloomington.
Is there malicious intent part of doxing, or is if I say Harry lives at X, Y, and Z street in X, Y, and Z, and I'm accidentally tweeting it instead of texting it?
Yeah, you technically just doxed me.
Okay.
The intent's not there, because trying to prove malicious intent or something like that, it was very, very difficult. But the idea of just posting, someone's actual public information out there.
Okay.
But public information means that it's open to the public, right?
Well, it depends. Sometimes when people...
Because the reason, like the Musk plane is public information, even though he does pay for a private service he pays the government to keep that information private.
Mm-hmm.
It's, and they don't do a good job of it, but all plane traffic is public knowledge. And so he pulled everybody off of Twitter. So the Santa tracker, that's gone. It's off of Twitter as of yesterday. And he got on a Twitter Spaces journalist for talking about that move. And he got on the Twitter Spaces and said, you're all not special. I'm going to treat you with the same rules. I don't care if you're reporting on it, but you shared their information. That's doxing. So you're all going to get banned too, because I'm going to treat you like everybody else, which is not necessarily treating, because anybody who ever retweeted it should have gotten banned, but he specifically went after these journalists. So
he's just mad because when you look at where his flights go, right? So he was at Epstein Island like 12 times in a year, which that makes you look bad. You know what I mean?
Right.
Especially to the people you're trying to cultivate on your Twitter.
This has specifically bugged him that this plane tracker thing has been on there for a while.
Also, he's had extended plane trips to Southeast Asia, specifically the Philippines. Mm. Now, if you're a wealthy white man, like the reason you go to the Philippines isn't due to business, right? I'm not building a factory in like Jakarta, for example. I'm going to the Philippines because the age of consent in the Philippines is 12, and there's a huge free prostitution sex ring in the Philippines.
Oh, we can't
and
know.
You like lady boys.
Well, we can't know any of that about.
I'm not saying he does it.
Allegedly.
Right?
I'm not saying he does it. It's just very suspicious.
Yeah.
When you're parked in the Philippines for weeks at a time, or you're parked on Epstein Island like 12, 13 times, especially when the people you try to cultivate are the people that are the same exact people that will fry a Democratic politician for being at Epstein Island.
True.
So why would I want that information published where it says, I don't like the Clintons because Bill goes to Epstein Island 2 times a year when Elon's been there 12 times a year.
Right.
So it makes you look like a hypocrite.
So there was an alleged attack on his kid, and he posted video of it where there's a strange guy who he didn't take the video, but I think the driver, somebody took the video, and they had followed the kid, his kid's car. Mm-hmm. And he had a black mask on and a white Honda, and was, so they got the license plate and he put that out there, and he doxed the person who was following his kid, which, okay, I understand. And then, has sort of framed it as this was an assassination attempt. We'd have to buy his framing of it. There's no police report filed. Mm-hmm. We also know that he lied about his kid dying in his arms. I don't find him to be a very trustworthy individual. That is why we're talking about doxing, because there's been a big debate amongst people. Is doxing free speech? Because if you dox on Twitter now, he's kind of retroactively applied the terms of service and removed selectively a group of individuals, aka journalists, which is the exact same thing that pissed us off about the old regime, Jack's Twitter. Now, it's his property. He can do whatever he wants to do, so it really doesn't matter. But, I think doxing, it raises an interesting question, because we've talked about in terms of free speech, property rights trumps speech rights. But in the case of speech rights, where does, any kind of sex work, any kind of conspiracy theory mongering, any kind of hacking, any kind of doxing, any kind of racist content. These are technically free speech. If you're a free speech maximalist, as Elon has claimed, you would be in favor of allowing those things on your platform. I don't know that many of those things are like, I wouldn't want to be doxxed. I wouldn't dox Harry. Yep. I don't think that that's an appropriate way to like exist in a political society. But is it free speech to dox Harry?
It is free speech to dox somebody. It is completely free speech. But the thing is, like I was trying to say the last episode, is that no one is a true free speech absolutist. There are things that people don't want to speak of, don't want out there, and we have laws even against it. We're not in, even the United States is not a free speech absolute. I
mean, if you think about it, fraud is free. Speech issue. It's a limitation on free speech because you can lie to somebody about what you're selling them, you know, but that's illegal to do.
Correct.
That still is speech, right?
Right. So we have, it's okay to have a limitation, but we also say like doxing does have something. Now it's the world's richest man. Can this person afford to have security? Probably not because he's not really rich. He's rich on paper and he's a scumbag. But, but doxing is dangerous and people have been accosted having to pay for security. We've had YouTubers who have had like SWAT teams show up at their houses because of swatting attempts in the middle of even their live streams.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I was going to get on with doxing, is that doxing, yes, it is public information, but there's a lot of people there that have private lives behind their personas, a lot of like online personalities, especially people that don't show their face or purposely don't go out of their way to show who they are or where they're at. And then you use their public information to blackmail them, going like, hey, I know you are behind this VTuber model that streams and gets millions of dollars. I want you to pay me or I'm going to release you, who you are and where you live, to all these people. And they're going to show up at your house and do terrible things.
Yeah, which is technically extortion.
Yeah, it's not a new thing. Blackmailing is definitely illegal and should be. But it's like, I don't know, even if you're a YouTuber, I'm like nobody. And yet I do not have the luxury of feeling like I have privacy. So I'm just like, you know, on it, I just don't. And I'm really, nobody in this room does. If anybody wants to find something out about any one of us, they're going to find that out, especially if they're smart enough and have resources and especially a motive to use them. So I just don't, I'm like, people that want to whine about their lack of privacy and woody woo, especially when they're putting themselves out on the internet, I'm just like, suck a fat dick.
That kind of leads to why I wanted to talk about this and invited James here, because you made the comment yesterday in the Facebook group that doxing, people don't like doxing. Why?
Well, like normal people probably don't have a problem. They might get irritated by it, right? But like if
most of us put where we work online, we put out information.
Exactly. Like, you know, even like on Facebook, you'll make an event. You're like, hey, come to my house, party at Jeremiah's house. Everybody knows where Jeremiah lives because of that. So it's like normal people don't have a problem with giving out their information freely, and they don't have a problem with like other people posting. It's like, where does Jeremiah live? Oh, he's over here. You know what I mean? And that's just because there's no real impact to what they do in their daily lives. Like Jeremiah, even Chris and Harry, they can live their whole lives and not have like a major impact where they're going to get like reviled for something they do or say. The people that have a problem with their information being posted tend to be people that have hot takes.
Problematic people.
Exactly. So it's a problem if Biden, for example, his personal address gets leaked out, or like Pelosi's address gets leaked out because the guy got hit with a hammer in the face because of that.
Yeah, but what about Gamergate when they were releasing all this information about famous celebrities who are trying to fight against the whole mess, and then now they've got people camped on their doorsteps? And
well, we found out after the FBI report that was like that was junk, that was like little kids. You can read the Gamergate FBI report.
The reason the plane thing and doxing specifically bothers the right, to kind of James's point, is that the dominant culture, the predominant culture in society, a Taylor Lorenz can go in the New York Times or the Washington Post and put people's information that opens them up to attack, or let's all go protest outside of Brett Kavanaugh's house and scare the crap out of his kids. And that's acceptable. But then when it's the shoe is on the other foot, this is horrible. Like, and so conservatives have been really pushing on Twitter forever to deal with doxing, because right wing people keep getting doxed and they don't like it, and they don't feel that they're being put there. It's like, They probably did, but not at the level that they'd like. It's the same with like the child porn stuff. Twitter, of course, was going after child porn, but you know, even Elon Musk is now pretending that they didn't. Reinhold first, and then James.
I just want to diffuse the notion that the right wing was trying to fight against doxing for years. No, they weren't. They were doing doxing.
But that's
they
the
were
tip
just
for tat.
As bad.
That's
but
I know, and I get
no.
Go ahead, Mer.
That's the hypocritical nature of the fucking right wing and the conservatives. It's mm-hmm. it's okay for me to do it, but it's not okay for you, and I'm going to dictate.
It's just that both sides are hypocritical on this.
Absolutely,
James.
It's the way the right handles it is they like to be able to say what they want to say on social media, right? With like no repercussions because it's me on like a Facebook on a sock account. So if I want to sit here and just say as many slurs as I can churn out and just like bully people online as much as you churn out, the reason they hate doxing is because let's say I have a sock account and I'm going to like some random person's like account that has a political and I'm just going to say the N word as many times as I can till the guy blocks me, then make a new sock account and do it again. If someone finds out that's me and sees I work at Eli Lilly, you know what I mean? Now it's like, I can't do that anymore because they're going to screen cap this, send that to my employer and my ass is going to get fired because of my behavior online. And that's a real threat to them, which is the only threat you have in a digital world where harassment is tolerated. Like, you can't do it in real life. I can't go up to Paul and bully Paul in real life because Paul can call the cops and get a restraining order on me. He can do all his remedies for that. There's no remedy for online from a faceless sock account that's going to bully you online. So as long as that's the case, doxing is a somewhat acceptable form to get people to stop the online harassment. That's why I advocated before, like Korea, when you log into a gaming server in Korea, you have to put your national ID into their database. Mm. So when you're being toxic in Korea, basically telling people to go kill themselves in a video game, that's logged into your account and they have actions they can do to you. So it's like, I'm in a League of Legends match as a Korean. I threaten somebody in like a League of Legends match because dude's throwing mid lane. They can actually go to the police and have actions put against me. But that doesn't happen in America. You log on any game servers or online servers in like America, you'll just get harassed endlessly and there's no recourse because everybody's anonymous. Now there's people like liberty advocates that don't want like a national monitoring system on the internet where like you could be in a video game with me, you could be like CDog327, you call me a or something, right, and just harass me over that like endlessly.
I wish you wouldn't dox me here like this, but okay. Yeah.
But like I don't have a recourse because I don't have a national identity, but like if that's logged into like a system that I know you are, Chris Spangle, I can go there and file a restraining order or a lawsuit for like defamation, all sorts of stuff, and actually punish you for that. So like the reason doxing exists in that culture is because we don't have a way to punish sock accounts or like online personalities without actually like revealing their real life information to get them to stop. Now, is it okay for like to harass people like that aren't really doing anything because you don't like them, like swatting them? No, but is it good if like someone's like a really terrible person online that kind of like a hate mongers or sort of like does like harassment campaigns to kind of drop their information in there? Like if there's like a hacker or something doing like a lot of damage to financial services or like hackers doing damage to normal people, credit card scamming, like there's those call centers in India that they'll dox them all day. Yeah, this dude's stealing money from you. This is who this is. Like that's the good nature of it. It's a gray area.
All right. I want to like add on to that before you may tip it somewhere else. I heard a comedian talking about Kanye West, and he was a friend of Kanye. There was a falling out. They got into a fight. I don't remember his name. But he argued, and the video may be out there if you look this up, he argued that Kanye wanted white speech. And what he meant by that is that in the 1960s, you could walk down the street and see a black person or any person of color and look at them and call them the N-word, and nothing would happen to you. So you literally had unfettered speech where you could say whatever you wanted to groups of people with zero consequences. And that is what so many, like what Kanye West was specifically fighting for, was not free speech, but white speech in the way that it was framed, you know, pre-1970s, when all of a sudden now Black Panthers could show up and beat the crap out of you. And I think there is some shape to that. When you have conversations with people in our circles, in libertarian circles, in right-wing circles, I mean, I do consider myself a part of the right wing. That is what it feels like. It feels like they want the ability to do what James is talking about. I want to say whatever I want to say. I don't want my job to be affected. I don't want people showing up at my house. And that's just not how the real world has ever worked. Like that is it shouldn't work that way. Like there are some things that if you say these things, if you say anti-Semitic things, you're going to lose your job or you're going to suffer some consequences. And the I'm just asking questions, man. Why are there some questions we can never ask? It's that's not the same as free speech. So I don't know. Does anybody have any problems with that, or does anybody hear in that something that's
absolutely? Okay. We've had decades of this type of problem, and I can't believe none of them ever sat back here and saw any of this crap.
Name the problem. Hold on. Name the problem.
We've had this problem even in the 90s. Rush Limbaugh's had this problem when people would call up his advertisers and yell at him, take clips out of context, and get him advertisers to drop out. The same thing has happened to people on the right, libertarian spaces and stuff like that will have political commentary. People will get a hold of their business names and then find them and just like, no, they said this on the podcast. Oh, they'll take a segment of a podcast out of context, send it to them. The business freaks out and then just fires the person.
No, Rush Limbaugh, his entire career was basically ruined by the Sander Fluke thing because groups had organized and started calling all of his advertisers. They got so well organized that they started calling local stations advertisers. Mm-hmm. And so you could go to a spreadsheet and see everybody that advertised on Rush Limbaugh's show on WIBC, and they'd call Sullivan's Hardware and this heating and cooling place, mm-hmm. and they would harass them with hundreds of phone calls. So they dropped them, and finally stations across the country could no longer monetize Rush's show. Mm-hmm. And he ended up on an AM. And that's where people on the right, James, feel that it's lopsided. In that, hold on. We know what you're going to say. I want to hear what James is going to say.
No,
but why can't Rush Limbaugh say what he wants to say? Because even if he's saying what a majority of people think, and sometimes people like Media Matters will take something and make it racial or take it out of context, and it's not.
Well, Harry said it goes back a long time, too. It's not like in like the Middle Ages that you could be on the town square and say what you want without a posse of people in your town putting you onto a stake, right? It's just like it's always been the case, even outside of politics, you know, even in like even trailer park politics, right, where it's just like, you know, talk shit, get hit. If you're running your mouth at the trailer park, eventually some dude's going to hear it down the lot and run over to your house and beat your ass in your front door. Mm-hmm. That's always been human nature.
Yeah, but what if I think that masks don't work and people went way overboard on the effectiveness of masks, and then all of a sudden you're removed from the public square because you're saying something that is fundamentally true, but the larger cultural conversation doesn't agree.
But that's always been the case. You could say stuff that's true in the Middle Ages, oh, the earth actually revolves around the sun. You know, it's like it's not just common knowledge now, but you could say something like
just
that.
Just because that state exists, it doesn't mean that it's right.
But you're trying to frame it as like it's a right or wrong thing, but it's just like the nature of humans that when we do something, we are automatically repulsed or attracted to certain ideas, a certain speech, or certain things we do. So as long as you say something that's somewhat controversial or something that someone's going to disagree with it, they're going to be upset about and they're going to try to rally other humans to kind of counteract your point. Whereas, like, I don't like what Chris is saying, but some dude on the internet's like, oh, I don't like Chris either. Then you kind of gang up. Like, you see that in the Fickertarians group all the time.
Right, but the point of open speech and holding those values is that sunshine gets you better results. Having these conversations, you're more likely to make someone less racist by having them in the public square and having those dialogues with them. Like there are moderating influences. Like Rush Limbaugh would apologize for things when he went too far, right? Mm-hmm. There are forces, Harry, that when it's an open dialogue as opposed to canceling people or just shutting them down, that all of a sudden that becomes a problem. Harry, then Reinhold.
Yeah, and it's just more of just – it's the lying on people and getting people – because everyone hears about the major case of the big celebrities, but they don't hear about like the small different people that say something that get – too big, slightly too big than just a normal person, and they can just end up losing their job and just ruining families' lives. Because majority of men are the primary breadwinner of their family, and they can get kind of hot on a mic sometimes and say something. And if they lose their job, you can erect an entire family. Whether that's right or wrong of what he said or who this person is, that is what's happening. Okay? And they just don't, no one wants to think about these people. So like, that's why collectively we have had this conversation that doxing is wrong, and you Yes, you can probably find the information out of it. Yes, I know how to go through someone's Instagram account, download other pictures, and get the metadata out of it and find these freakers. But I got to go do something about it.
What
I
about reporting on those people?
What?
What about reporting on those people?
When you go to report on somebody, mm-hmm. like they're doing that, what do you mean? When, like, so, I'm not, like see, what TMZ is wrong. The idea that TMZ goes like they're here at this shop and showing photos, paparazzi, that stuff is wrong. You know, I almost said Princess Diana, but
I know. Don't but I'm watching Reagan and I are watching the Harry and Meghan documentary, and like you watch it and you just go, these paparazzis are doing nothing illegal. They're not even really being unethical. It's just that they are hounding them to death that they can't like in a way that it's gross. Yeah.
Why do you think Chappelle is out in the middle of Ohio?
Right. All right, Ryan Holt. So where's the limits between? So yeah, there are consequences to extreme speech, but we're almost in a place where both sides are not allowing even moderates to have moderate opinions before we start shutting each other down.
So that's the real problem. The thing is I hear a lot of people complaining about all the right is getting shut down, but they forget the hundreds of years where it was the other people that were doing it. Mean,
that's not true.
Commies aren't people.
There was no Red Scare. There was no commies aren't being shut down.
There were entire like
comedians
during the Red Scare. FDR was president. Woodrow Wilson was president. Like that is not a conservative.
The person
like
doing
you say this all the time, and you're historically inaccurate when you say it.
Really, the moral majority didn't happen. The people like
and there was tons
Monty
of
Python
counterbalance
wasn't
a, to
wasn't,
that.
Had to hide because of their assassination attempts against them. All none of
but
that
doesn't
happened.
Mean that the entire predominant culture was right wing. That's not how it's
no,
how it has
that.
Worked.
I'm just saying that this happened. This has always happened. That there's been people who want to silence speech or thoughts or anything that they don't like, and they gang up and group up together and do what's called cancel culture today, has been a part of society forever.
Right, but
it's like what he was saying. He was like in the town square in the 1600s.
But it always existed as sort of a cute way of saying, I don't want to get involved in the debate and fight for people that I don't like.
Well, that's how it's always been.
They literally mailed people bombs in the 70s, Spangle. Like,
but that's
there was a race
I don't
riot
like your speech having an explosive in the post.
Right, which is a violation of people's rights.
Don't you
to
talk
live.
About Uncle Ted like that. Don't you dare talk about Uncle Ted.
But here's my thing on
and
all
of
it.
Those people are on the extremes.
Yeah, the whole thing is that there's a value to some of this stuff, and then there's a misuse of some of this stuff. So there's kind of a value, like cancel culture started, and I can go through a whole history lesson on that. But
hold on. All right. Let me set the shape of the debate. Your uncle thinking that Barack Obama is not a citizen. At the time, you could say whatever you want. They weren't moderating political speech. But these companies have now would work themselves into this is a dangerous racist trope that is going to get people killed. Specifically Barack Obama, and we need to take off speech that talks about Barack Obama's birth certificate. We are 10 years down the road, and they are now proactively removing opinions that they don't like at these companies, be it Elon Musk's right-leaning views or Facebook's left-leaning views. And I don't know why we would argue for, well, you know, there's consequences to saying that he's not a real citizen, and so fuck that guy. When he's not hurting anybody, he just has a wrong opinion. James?
I mean, it's people don't really like, people love the idea of freedoms, right? But they don't really like freedoms. Like, for example, when you say, like, I'm going to ban this speech because I don't like this speech, people try to do that all throughout history. You've never seen, like, a maximalist like Elon said he is. Like, I'm a maximalist on this freedom. Like, that's never been the case. Like, deep down, like, most people have limits. And most people, when those limits are breached, they will get emotional. They will act. Because people like to think of humans as, like, robots. Like, a lot of libertarians like to think of them as robots. They're rational beings. But humans are very irrational. Humans are very impulsive. Humans do totally cruel things without even thinking about how cruel the things are, because their natural behavior is always the defense of self. That includes my ego. That includes how I behave, my lifestyle. So when something happens or speech happens that they disagree with, that threatens the way they think or the way they espouse their views, they're always going to try to reactively say, I would like this removed because I don't like it. I want these people removed from my building because I don't like these people. Like, that's throughout human history, we behave like that. So human beings, despite how we want freedom, we want to be free to do what we want, we sort of crave authority to some extent, that we want some higher power, be it a court or government, even like religion to some extent, to sort of set rules and parameters and boundaries, morals, right, wrong, good, bad, so we can behave the ways that don't offend us the most. So like, if I was a maximalist, a full on, like everything goes, there's never been a society that, the only way you get that is by going out into the woods and living by yourself to do what you want to do. The moment you interact with somebody else, their values and what they believe is right and wrong come into play. And if you disagree, it might be a civil disagreement, or it might be full-blown violence. You know, some people are so strongly in their convictions that they will literally fight you on a drop of a hat over shit you say. Can you fix that with human behavior? No, because you're still monkeys. You know, you're still apes. And apes behave like apes do. Like, eventually, someone comes into their territory too long, or they stay too long, you're throwing shit and hitting, like, you know, whoever's around you. I can't fix human behavior like that. No one can fix human behavior like that. That's been a constant in our, like, history since, like, the dawn of time. So while I don't agree with them removing things that are information that they think is wrong, on, like, a principle level, it's just always going to happen. There's nothing you can do with it. And if you ever had a scenario where anything goes, everything goes, the only thing that's going to happen is it turns into a shit fest. Like, 4chan was like that for a long time. Just say what you want, do what you want. Well, eventually authority comes in and solves it for you. Oh, what you're posting there? What's CP? Oh, that's got to go, because now we're going to regulate that. Now, if you're a maximalist, you let that shit on there. But it's against the law. There's a lot of shit that's against the law that people do that needs to be removed. And that's an authority coming down and putting people into silos. No. In that case, yeah, okay, you probably shouldn't post that. That's disgusting.
No, you shouldn't post that.
You shouldn't.
We as a society, by majority rule, have said we don't want child porn. Nobody wants that. It's detrimental to everybody.
Yeah. And but a maximalist
nobody wants to see that on Twitter, and there should be no tolerance for it. But Barack Obama's birth certificate is where we're at, what I'm talking about. Like, you know, and doxing is, there's a fine line on doxing too, right? Like, there's no fine line on child porn. Like, well, let's not argue the extreme. Like, Barack Obama's birth certificate and something that's a little close to the line, like putting somebody's address out there, Reinhold.
It really comes down to, so the tools aren't the problem. The idea of doing this stuff is, it's how it's being used, why it's being used, and the implementation of it. So you can do a good thing where we canceled R. Kelly. That was where canceled, that all came from. That was, he was doing something that was wrong. Society knew it was wrong, but legally there was nothing happening. So they got to his advertisers, they got him shut down, they got him canceled.
Right.
So that's a positive use of doing that.
He's not canceled in my heart.
He's a victim.
But then there's people like the first person technically who was canceled. She had made a joke about going to Africa.
Oh yeah, the got on a plane. Jenny something.
Yeah. By the time she got there, she had lost her job. She was a pariah. Everybody was screaming at her. I mean, there's overuse of this stuff. There's overuse of everything. Just like that, we think that people should be free to have guns for self defense. That's a good idea. But also, that gun can be used to go and kill a bunch of people. So where do you draw the line on that freedom?
This is a point that. So I keep getting crap from the left and the right. I argued with a Mises guy yesterday about this. He's like, well, Musk's property, he can do what he wants. I'm like, I agree with you. Property rights. This is why property rights are the best way to organize a society, because all eight of us can own a social network and have different levels of what we find as allowable speech. And then people who, listen, I'm not going to be a part of whatever James Neese is into. I'm going to Normieland, run by Christy Avery, where it's just Weird Al Yankovic and Chris Spangle clips, right?
She is a cat girl, sir, and she is attractive.
Right.
Just wait till she learns how that AI gets.
So by separating things into private property, all of a sudden everybody has a choice and the market then decides who has the best, right? So, but when you look at, so he was arguing, well, free speech is only about the First Amendment. And I said, that's not true. You, technically, you're just arguing, yes, the First Amendment is, you can regulate and censor all you want as long as the government doesn't do it and it's a law. The problem with that is if you use the example of the Second Amendment and gun rights, when culture becomes so lax or so disconnected from gun use that they no longer understand what actually happens in a household that owns guns, how an AR-15 works, you then eventually get laws that erode that Second Amendment and a society that wants to overturn the Second Amendment because people have lost the value of self-protection, community protection, and the same thing applies to censorship. When you categorically just go, all right, I'm against the left and I'm going to agree with any censorship against the left or anything that I deem to be racist or homophobic, I want it banned. You really have to think about those tendencies because censorship isn't an impulse. Free speech is a value to hold the same way as self-protection is a value that you hold. And the First Amendment doesn't get overturned. It gets nibbled away law by law by law, location, location, by location. The same with the Second Amendment. And so you have to look at things like Barack Obama's birth certificate, or maybe even doxing, which is something that we all find abhorrent, and go, I don't think that this should exist. I don't think anybody should do it. I'm going to personally impose consequences to the best of my abilities to anybody that does it. But people have a right to say things because look at the domino effect of what Elon Musk did. He said, I don't want these plain things out there. I didn't know they existed. Now, all of a sudden, I know that there's Twitters that exist that can follow planes and that all of this is public information. It's the Streisand effect. And then people start reporting on it. So he goes, you know what? I'm going to ban the journalists that are amplifying this. I'm going to get rid of them. So then all of a sudden, you've got the guy that writes for South Park who is building a website now to track Elon Musk's plane. He didn't get rid of it. And then yesterday he got rid of Twitter Spaces because they were talking mean about him. He got rid of Mastodon links so you couldn't go to another platform. He keeps nibbling away. And what he did is he Streisand affected this to the point that now we're talking about it and drawing attention to it because censorship always backfires. Violence backfires. These impulses to control always backfire instead of having more of an open hand. And that is the point of a libertarian society is that you allow more openness and allow people to make decisions and use the market to then sort things out. Yeah. Harry, go ahead.
You're absolutely right with that one. Because a lot of people are finding out like how planes are tracked. You know, I've had people ask me questions at work. Was like, well, how are they doing this? What's going on with that? And try to explain it's almost the exact type of system that mimicked off of the way websites are tracked. You know, you apply for the privacy. It's like everyone who owns a domain, they know they want your information, want everything about you, and they ask for it to make sure it's updated every year. That's the main other thing that will, and planes are tracked by the exact same way, which they also put for RC controls and drone planes. So when the drone craze, remember the drones, everyone was having drones. Well, when the Federal Commission got in,
the moral panic of it.
Right, yeah.
They made
people wanted to register your drone. So you would have to put, and that's why there's a lot of pushback on it because you had to put your drone, had to put the marking of what your plane is, who it belongs to. And because a lot of people were doing a lot of bad stuff with a lot of these quadcopters or drones. I'm saying drones, I know what a quadcopter is. I've built one. They're fun, but you know, people know them as drones, but people are just doing terrible things and bad things with it, but they've also ruined the whole sport on it. Like a lot of the first person drone racing is a lot of fun, but yeah, it's
Reinhold and then James, like where do you guys disagree with what I said or what, you know, where's your line?
I don't think I disagree with what you said. I think my process is that I think there should be a delineation between government involvement in speech and private involvement in speech and a market of speech, marketplace of speech. This is what we're talking about is a marketplace of speech, is what social networkings are. But I believe that there should be more open speech in the marketplace of speech. But a lot of people will take this idea of free speech as a right and try to apply it in areas that it doesn't technically belong in. I still think we should have the mindset of wanting to have that free speech, but we also have to understand that it's not, you know, we still have market value,
Well, here's where we agree. Like, as a publisher, I think about what we put out. I will censor James's use of the F word. Mm-hmm. Why? Because I don't want any of our gay listeners to hear that and have certain feelings or emotions, or like, I want to be sensitive to them.
Right.
As a, you know, so I will not block that out. I will not fire James from the podcast. I will just simply censor that and expect that all of our audience will be tough enough to exist in a world where James will say the F word on air.
Right. Two-week suspension, too, bro.
Do we?
Yes.
Well, but that's the way it should be. It should be that that all the privately owned stuff and everything's property rights, we get pushed back by society if we allow too much or we censor too much. But I have, like I said, I still have a problem with people who then go and say, okay, we have this First Amendment right to free speech and try to apply it there because it's kind of different. And I think you get into a lot of trouble by doing that because then you change the nature of the discussion to where I have a right to say this stuff and you can't stop me. No, society can stop you from saying that stuff. They have every right to do that because it's private property. And when you push too far, you're going to get pushback on it. And that's how things should be regulated by, you know, how society feels, and society is always changing too. That's what really another thing irritates me is like, well, we used to be able to say this 20 years ago. Well, you can't now because we've changed. Society has changed and we've determined that we don't want that kind of language to be used to talk about these people who are disaffected.
I agree with you, you know, on things like racial or ethnic slurs or things like that. Like Married with Children, there's probably a lot of stuff in there that like I shouldn't have watched as a 12-year-old because a lot of my views on women and I was not sophisticated enough to know that those were jokes. but you know, things like political speech, like, is Barack Obama a citizen? That's where I go, look, this has to be, I get it.
And I agree that that stuff should be, society should say, that should be allowed. We shouldn't allow that. And if you're going to block that information on this social network, we're not going to go to this social network anymore. We're going to go over here where we can talk about it. That's how society should regulate it. It shouldn't be government coming in. I really don't want, I like the idea of government trying to come in and regulate what can be said and what can't be said on social networking. That should all be done.
But the problem is that it's not necessarily the government directly doing it and passing laws. It's the government jawboning and using their influence and threats of future regulation to get people to take down things that they don't like. I don't want to see Hunter Biden's D. I don't. But I also want to be able to see the Hunter Biden laptop story, right? And that was taken down because government employees, the FBI, the thing, like, I watched Tucker this week, and like this is deeply troubling how the FBI is censoring content in this way, but they never like go into what they asked to be taken down, right? And when you go and look up what was supposed to, this, if you're watching a lot of right-leaning media, this is something to keep in mind, like, what is the FBI asking them to take down? Because Tucker never tells you, right? And so you have to go and find that information for yourself. Paul, you wanted to say something?
I think...
James, what do you think that... what do you think of... Go ahead, Paul.
So I think that one of the big problems in this conversation is we're conflating controlling other people's speech and canceling speech with the reaction to their speech. And yes, you have a right to go on and post about, is Barack Obama really a citizen or is he a secret Muslim agent born in Kenya? And it's like, okay, that's fine. You can say that. You're not being canceled when 30 people show up to call you an idiot for being a gullible rube for the lowest hanging fruit in the conspiracy theory tree. The problem I see is that we have too much
Harry,
of that conflation.
Yeah. Paul is more condescending than Reinhold, and people don't know this, but he really is.
Pretty much, yeah. Do you remember like always debate about like the long form and short form birth certificate that he showed too?
Yeah.
Haven't had that.
He produced all of it.
I have. Yeah. I have blog posts about that whole thing back in the day. I mean, it was an interesting rabbit hole for me to go down to for about 6 to 9 months. But
yeah. Also, if the immigration system that they put in to stop illegals from getting jobs in the United States can't stop someone becoming president faking the system, what hope does anyone else have?
All right, Vincent, what do you have to say?
As Paul was saying, you're conflating freedom with speech from freedom of consequences. A lot of people are mixing those two things together. You can say whatever you want, but when somebody comes in and attacks you, or you decide to SWAT somebody but you have the wrong address, you killed somebody that had no idea what was going on, and then you go to jail, that's your on you. You have the right to say that this is where this person's address is, and you have the right to go, oh, I called the SWAT team because I wanted to, and I know that's where they are. But it's not the freedom of consequences of, oh, this person died because you decided to call a SWAT team on this location. You go to jail for – this person goes to jail for leaking the address. This person goes to jail for calling the SWAT team, and this person goes to jail for antagonizing the whole thing altogether.
Well, what about the SWAT team for killing the innocent people?
Well, that's where the non-aggression principle comes in. If you are using another agency, if you are outsourcing violence because you're not personally going to go run in guns blazing to somebody else's house, so you SWAT them hoping that the police will kill them, that's still immoral. That's still a violent act against somebody. Mm-hmm. If you are doxing somebody, you can argue that if you are putting somebody's address out there like Brett Kavanaugh's and saying, here's his address, go protest. All right, that's go protest, right? I personally do not think that we should engage as a society in that way, that Brett Kavanaugh's opinions and Keith Olbermann's opinions should be open to be criticized, but you should not be protesting outside of their houses. But if you are saying go to their house, if you're saying go to the Capitol and whatever happens, happens, these are different things. Like it's the intent.
I'm not going to be there.
He wanted to go. Right. But
it's the same thing as that. It's just, I went to the most extreme version of it. Like your example is like, this is Kavanaugh's address, go protest, and then stuff happens and our people get mad at you for releasing somebody else's address or any of that stuff. Anything that happens after you release the address is the consequences of your actions. Yeah, you have the right to say it, but if somebody goes protesting and then they attack him because it was a peaceful protest, and somebody who had bad, ill intent joined this peaceful protest and attacked them, well, technically, you just aggressed without meaning to because you were trying to start a peaceful protest, mm-hmm. and then somebody took it out of hand. It's right. The consequences of your actions are not a right. The fact that you can say it, that's a right.
But isn't that sort of what Elon Musk is arguing? And it is that you don't understand the consequences of your own actions. So doxing isn't allowed. You shouldn't be doing it. I'm not going to let you amplify it.
Personally, I don't like doxing. I think doxing is ridiculous because it's just putting people out there for no reason. But that's just my own opinion. But my other thing is that my opinion on Elon Musk has already been low, and I don't care about Twitter because Twitter is not even used as much as people think it is, even though we herald it as this massive thing when no one actually cares about it. Literally, there is a YouTube series that did Film Theory that did a whole thing about Twitter because all these massive movies are coming out and there was getting no traction on Twitter. And the most popular TV show in the United States has zero Twitter traction. No one cares about Twitter, but it gets millions upon millions of views because Twitter is a small number of people, mm-hmm. and everybody wants to act like this is the majority of everybody.
Yeah.
This is 8% of the world, and no one cares what's happening on Twitter.
I don't even believe that it's 8%. I believe it's 1%. And that's what the annoying thing about Musk is, like, we can't vote him out in 4 years. He is messing with the playground of the people that control the conversation. And so he's getting this outsized amount of coverage in the way that Trump did. And they're making Musk too important. They're making Twitter too important. When you were sending larger volumes of alerts and content out about Musk banning 5 journalists for doxing, as you in the same volumes that you sent the invasion of Ukraine, mm-hmm. something's out of whack. Twitter is a video game. Twitter is nonsense. It's not real.
It's a bunch of twats.
Exactly. Thank you.
It's the same thing why we kept publicizing Facebook all the time when it was popular. Because that's what everybody wanted to talk about, because that's where everybody was when it mm-hmm. really wasn't. No one really cares.
And the journalists are on Twitter. Okay. Yeah, they're there. They sit there in their journal circles and stuff like that in groups.
And to bring it into more of a legalistic view, when you're dealing with the difference between swatting and doxing, there is a foreseeability factor. Like, are the consequences of releasing James's address because he dropped the F-A word?
I have a Roomba, and I'm not telling you what's on the Roomba, but you're free to come
right,
fight
but
the
are
Roomba.
Are the consequences of saying, well, here's where this guy lives, is the foreseeable bad outcome of that as likely, as reasonably expected, as calling a SWAT team and telling them, yeah, I just murdered my wife and two kids and I'm going to shoot any cop that comes in this door, which is like the standard script for getting somebody swatted.
Noted.
And
she's got a list.
But
we're an educational
I don't think
broadcast.
That I don't think that the foreseeability of just saying, hey, we know who you are and where you are, I don't see that as nearly as actionable as a threat, because what are people going to do? If you can get people to show up, they'll make some noise for a few hours outside of a Supreme Court justice's house.
Well, I have like a thing with like honor culture, right? So like the reason I don't really like laws to a certain extent, because like if someone doxes Paul's house, right? And Paul doesn't like this guy doxing his house, and what can you do is like, can you litigate the person? Like for me, like, someone that says like Paul should be able to challenge this person that's harassing him or doxing him to a mock hurrah, right? Where it's like
okay.
Yeah, it's like Paul's like, you know what, you're a loser, mock hurrah, right? And like,
what the fuck is mock hurrah? What are you talking about?
Mock hurrah is a 1-on-1 fight to the death, right?
It's dueling, basically. You know what we used to do back.
It's
in the
a, it's like an old like 18, it's like it's a Warcraft term for it. But like back in the day, right? You harass someone, assault somebody, duel to the death.
Well, or first blood. A lot of duels were first blood.
In the modern era, it's 1v1 me, bro. That's what it is now.
You casual, get good.
1v1 me, bro. I can beat you. No items. Let's go.
But like my U.S. society is like, you know, like in a futuristic society, like if we do leave the planet, we have our little like cool space colonies like thousands of years in the future, right? It's like, get rid of the structures of the way these laws is. If someone assaults you in your little fortress of solitude around like Mercury, right? Challenge them to the mock hurrah, like my space suit versus your space suit, right? Like we'll do an independent system like that. And I think that solves a lot more problems than trying to arbitrate it or legalize it, where it's like, you know what, Paul? Choose your champion, brother. Who's going to be your champion? Who's going to fight this dude calling you a scrub?
Did you imagine that when you did this podcast and we were going to talk about Christmas that we would get into back dueling?
I'm all for bringing back dueling.
Well, that's why I love having James here and Miranda to some extent, too. You never know where things are going to go.
Like sometimes you just got to beat somebody's ass, right?
It's that's
like,
still it's, the way, though. And it's like, yeah, but it's just now you can't be as forward about it, you know, because people do want to take.
Well, we're
beating each other's ass with
people are outsourcing things to the government, and there are cases of violence where the police don't do anything, they don't help you, and there's no recourse, and so guys get to just do whatever they want to do because nobody's actually doing anything. And this is where James...
That's real life for
me. It is real life.
I'm more anarchist.
Let Miranda talk. I want to hear what she has to say.
Yeah,
about
I mean, the bottom line is a lot of times it's the rules in the game suck and they are stacked against you. But when you realize that you're getting no help out, then you start to play, how can I play this for myself? Or how can I use... If nobody's going to police this person for doing this... Then okay, I guess I can just do whatever I want to do to that person, right. And nobody's going to say shit to me.
Yeah, and so the corruption of
Snatch
the government,
that wig.
And I don't mean like corruption of taking money, but just the general corruption of the American system, because we have criminalized too many things. Police have too much to do.
Yep.
So they don't actually go after people who are violent, or like this kid in the shooting in the club in California. I read an article 2 days ago that the judge in 2021 that sentenced him, he couldn't sentence him to a crime, but he said this man needs serious intervention or he is going to cause significant violence and people are going to die. And the FBI was investigating him. Every single one of these guys that go up and we have a mass shooting, they're known to the FBI and they're known to local authorities. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing that can be done about them.
Oh, the FBI does do stuff with them. It's called, I have a cool Dropbox for you, bro. You want to come get it?
What does that mean?
It's weird when the FBI knows about someone being crazy or they're going to shoot somebody up, how there's somehow random Discord messages from this user that somehow joined. It's like, oh yeah, bro, you should totally shoot up that school. By the way, I got a couple ARs you can use.
Are you saying that the FBI wants these things to happen?
I mean, like,
they've had their numbers.
If it's like a reoccurring thing that, like,
they'll push you.
Yeah,
they'll push.
The FBI will do like certain things to try to entrap you to a certain extent. Like if they know like someone's like a danger, right, or like someone's in a cult, they might send in sleeper agents. They might engage in interaction with this person, try to goad them to do
that.
Something.
That happened with Whitmer, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So like that blows back. Like there was like the guy that shot up. I forget why he shot up, but there was Discord messages between two people that were unidentified people that just joined the Discord where he was at. Mm-hmm. That were talking about him to shoot the stuff up, that showed him where to get the guns, how to compile the guns, get the ammo, how to do assault tactics or military-grade assault tactics. Mm-hmm. And he went and did it. It's like no one normal is going to talk to you like that besides like another weirdo or like a federal agent that's going to tell you exactly how to do it, where to go in, how to get out.
So are they arresting these people then?
Oh, yeah, after the fact.
After, yeah.
Yeah.
If they do something.
But they want to be sure they're watching and they know when the move happens, so correct. They make the push.
Yeah.
What are we mad about if they're arresting these people?
Right. Because because sometimes they lose track. Just like
it's
Fast and Furious.
Tactics also are just shady.
Yeah. Like Fast and Furious, they lost all these guns. CP on Twitter.
Right? And then they ended up shooting,
Yeah. The CP on Twitter, right, is because it's probably like the CP that you're finding on. Like, Musk is filing on Twitter. It's probably FBI-owned because they use it as a honeypot. They're using Twitter as a honeypot. Oh, it is known that the FBI has a CP honeypot server.
Oh, yeah.
Talk Live mentioned it on air, talked about, reported it on it, and then the FBI claimed that someone there at the house went there and raided the whole studio and took everything out of there.
Oh, great. Let's just put that on the podcast then.
All right, guys, point at the camera, wave to Dave, our FBI agent that listens to all the podcast. Hey, Dave, like, you know, how's Christmas going? Great.
Well, Paul?
I think it was
so Miranda.
It was like a decade ago that there was a story circulating that the FBI was running a honeypot server on the Tor network and had something like 300,000 hits, and they made like a grand total of 20 arrests off of it. Mm-hmm. So they distributed material to probably 300,000 people before they acted and arrested anybody.
Well, that could, those 300,000 could have been 20 people just hitting it 300,000.
Yeah, I'm sure.
When you're on it, you just click, 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 click,
I'm
click.
I'm sure they all pulled the Pete Townsend defense. Oh, I was just researching for my book because of my trauma.
I know. It's like Fast and Furious. I really want to know, like, if a lot of the guns, especially like when we see like the rising crimes in a lot of these cities, like, are these guns from Fast and Furious?
Yeah.
All right. How most of the guns are stolen from police.
Yeah, that's the other thing. You saw that weird
part? Are they stolen from the police, or did the police sell those guns illegally? Let's really call that out.
Best place to buy weed in Plainfield was from the cops.
Okay, so all my Glocks are former – I bought them from cops. I will say that. My Glocks are from cops. My shotgun I bought off cops in a trunk of a car, but, you know.
Well, what they would do at Plainfield, like in the 90s, was bust you for pot and then go, would you like to buy your pot back? And so then the rest would go away.
Man, I never was offered that.
Hail, fellow traveler. Would you like to buy some skooma?
My favorite Twitter account of all time is Not a Cop, where it was like, hello, fellow friends. I'm meeting you up for some pot at the corner of XYZ. All right, let's go around. Let's give final thoughts. Christy, Avery, you are up first, and we'll just go around this way.
Why do you have to come to me first?
Because you're my favorite.
The sweater.
I know that. You know me. I have no thoughts.
That's why we love you, Christy. All right.
No. If you haven't seen the movie Weird on the Roku channel, check it out. Very good.
Very good movie.
My man, Weird Al Yankovic. It's incredible. Yankovic.
Same thing.
Whatever, asshole. Anyways, Merry Christmas, everybody. I love you all.
Aww.
Even you.
You're all so mean to me.
Especially Harry.
Thanks, Christy. We love you.
Miranda?
Merry Christmas, bitches. I love you guys. Yeah, I was just really happy to be here and freeze my ass off in this room with you guys.
Yeah, so, it did get a little cold, yeah.
It did, but it was fun. It was worth it, and it probably kept us all on our toes.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to a reboot of Miranda's World.
We need to get a picture of you two and James in the middle of you two, because you two look so nice and festive and Christmassy, and James...
just rolled out of bed.
Fish cusser.
James just rolled out of a dumpster in New Jersey.
Whoa, New Jersey? No, come on. Manhattan, at least.
That's Haight-Ashbury.
It is, right. Yeah, he's wearing like the Mexican poncho from a drug dealer in 1983 in Tijuana.
How else can you conceal
it? I mean, I got to get a new one. It's wearing down slowly.
Send money.
Does he smell?
I'm not sure he's changed clothes since I bought a laptop off of him.
What do you think I smell like?
Cigarettes.
I mean, like patchouli cigarettes. Like,
you look like you would smell like patchouli.
I do have a cologne and like soap and like I keep it authentic, right? So it's not just you can't just look the part. You got to smell the part and be the part.
He looks like piss jugs and cum desks. That's what he looks like.
That was the smell. It's a candle I have at home, also.
Bed Bath
James in my heart.
Bed Bath & Beyond sells the cum desks and piss jug candle.
Do you have some vomit bags?
Yeah.
I mean, I won't lie. Like, I did sort of piss in a jug, like, last night because I'm trying... Like, I was in a queue for Overwatch competitive, and, like, I didn't want to get, like, booted from it. So I'm like, you know what? I can't go piss. I got to piss really fucking bad. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to piss in this water bottle, throw it in the trash. I'm going to clap this fucking Roadhog, dude, and we're going to go.
Have you ever pissed in a jug, Miranda?
I mean, I've peed in a lot of cups.
There's no shame in pissing in jugs. Truckers do it, and they're America's cowboys. Gamers do it, and they're like literally alpha chads. I mean, like, you know, gamers are like top 10 people, and like, you know, you looked at the dick size chart, they're above Chris Galt, the team.
You know, it's not the peeing in the cup that bothers me. It's when I hand that warm cup with pee on the outside of it to someone else.
Right.
That's when it stops being fun.
Do people pay you for that?
Oh, no. That was when I was in a relationship with the state of Indiana.
Oh. Consensual or?
Not consensual. We're not together anymore. And do not fucking call or write.
Are you like a piss jug person? Or are you the type of person to piss off your back porch because you're too ass to go inside? Because there's people that piss off their back porch.
Oh, I'm an outdoor pisser.
Yeah, there we go.
I have a neighbor now. But before I had a neighbor, when I was out working in the yard, I would go over. So we're in a duplex. And so we share a garage. And then he has a fence. And then I go back kind of hidden and piss along his fence line where nobody could see me because I just didn't want to go inside. I was like, you know what? I'm a man. I'm going to piss outside.
And you're not really free unless you piss on your
back porch. It's a little different when you have like 5 acres in the countryside.
I'm in downtown Indianapolis, by the way.
Honestly, I was never an outside peer until I worked security on the south on Southport. And I was in that parking lot for 12 hours at a time. I didn't always want to drive to Meijer. And I definitely... I would just, and there's cameras in that parking lot. I didn't give two shits. I would literally just get out and squat. And
Miranda showed up. She tried to go straight, and she was working this job doing security right by my house.
I would take my bikini and my lawn chair, and I would sit out in the parking lot.
She came over one time, and she's wearing a dress that is so short, you could see the bottom of her ass cheeks. It was low cut, and she had her titties out perfectly. She looked a 10 out of 10. She was, like, all, like, oiled up and glistening, hair and makeup done. Like, she looked like she was, like, going to a club. And I go, what are you doing tonight? And she goes, oh, I'm going to sit in my car and work security over at the warehouse. And I go, and she was wearing heels. I go, what do you do if somebody shows up? She goes, I'm going to chase their ass down. And I go, dress like that? And she goes, do you think they're going to run from me? I was like, this is the greatest fucking security guard I've ever met.
That's called entrapment. It's called entrapment.
You know, it never worked though. I would sit out there by myself for so, I mean, I would have to do things to stay busy. I would do my nails, my makeup. I would take the free weights.
You were so bored.
Oh, yeah. It was
rough. It was boring. It was okay, though, because I was actually on house arrest. So it got me out of the house for 12 hours at a time.
Did you have the ankle thing on while you did it?
Oh, hell yeah. Nice. Yeah, that's so funny, too, because, yeah, I mean, obviously my employers were not aware of that. That's their problem.
That's a special tag, though.
Yeah, I'm on house arrest. The ankle, though. I'm on house arrest, but I'm doing security for you. It's a good background check.
No one can keep your property safer than a felon.
That is true.
Yeah. I would chase you outside the block, but it's 9 o'clock. I got to count into the house. So, like, if you want to stay here until I get back after checking with the parole office, it's on you.
Those ankle things don't, they're never on. That's a scam.
Well, no. Okay. So the one I had was just the old one, and it would just connect to my box at home. So it would let them know when I was there or if I was not there. Mm-hmm. But nowadays in Hamilton, or at least in like, not in Hamilton County, but in Marion County, they do the GPS bracelet on everybody. Mm-hmm. And actually, no, it is like because my girlfriend, I almost said her name. So my girlfriend, she's not in trouble anymore, but she was on house arrest, and she had figured out how to get her bracelet off. And so she would take it off and leave. Well, one time she almost got in trouble because it hadn't moved in for X amount of time. So they showed up at her house. So then she learned to put it on an oscillating fan.
There's nobody who can protect your property better than criminals.
Well, that's what you do is you get a cat. It's your new cat collar, right?
You're right. Yeah.
There you go. It's like fancy one.
Why are they sprinting through the house at 3 a.m.?
It's the reason why the best hackers don't work for the government. They work for private companies.
Yeah.
Some of the, like, I remember when former employer asked me to look at the security of one of the offices, and I showed him how I could, and I just got inside.
Yeah.
You know, like, well, they were basically questioning my background check after that because they were like, how did you get in so easily? It's like, no, I just talked to people who've done this stuff. But yeah.
Final thoughts, James. Go ahead.
Need more people on Low Key WoW to come into the Twitch chat because it's just me and like Paul bans me for 15 minutes at a time for like saying shit.
He's like a yellow shirt at the track. Dude who does nothing all day, he gets a modicum of power at the track and just becomes a little tyrant on his corner of the speedway.
He was getting a little bit out of line, and I decided to stop it before he started dropping the F word in Twitch chat.
Let the boy say what he wants to say.
He bans me. So like most mutes on Twitch are like 2 minutes or something like that. But like Paul, it's like a 30-minute mute. I'm like, Jesus Christ, Paul.
You need to do something about this.
Yeah.
I did do something. I gave Paul power.
Yeah. And that's why I'm saying do something about it.
But if there's more people.
I have an application to give Nice mod power, but I keep losing the application. I put it on my desk. Somehow it just goes away. I don't know what's going on. So eventually, Nice will get mod powers on the Twitch page.
See, we get more people. Like it's like this, right? But instead of talking politics, you're talking degenerate, right? So it's like, if you're not into politics, but you're like, we are libertarians, but you want to talk some like real skanky degenerate shit, like where's the best place to find lot lizards at? Like I-75.
Miranda. Oh my God. You're perfect for this.
Yes. And actually, just last night, we were talking about starting a tow company called Lot Lizards.
Yeah.
And we're going to keep bumper stickers. And so every time we tow a car, they get a bumper sticker and we'll just toss it in the window or whatever. And it's going to be like, you got licked.
So you can come on Low Key Wall and talk about being a lot lizard, and that's totally cool. And you can say whatever you want.
Every Monday night at 9 p.m.
Yeah, on Twitch, and you know.
I don't know.
And Facebook is on Facebook. And YouTube.
Yeah, we're going to do our long form show on December 30th, which you are welcome to come.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Do you work on Monday nights?
Sometimes, not usually, but yeah.
Yeah, you should join the show. It'd be fun.
I definitely should.
And if you're hot, Paul won't ban you because Paul will simp. All right, he's that type of moderator. He's that type of moderator. Like, let's be real. Like, I've seen it in action. I'm not saying. I'm not dropping names.
Literally, you could get 5 F words for one lap dance from Paul.
Exactly.
Ace alone. He's always there. You leave him alone.
Yeah, we love Ace. Paul, okay.
Paul's like, oh, a male saying terrible stuff. Ban, like, oh,
he is
goth mommy, big milky goth mommy. Oh, cool. You're free to say what you want.
Are we done with these final character assassinating thoughts?
No, Paul, I'm not. In the world of We're Libertarians in the hierarchy, James Nice has seniority over Paul. He brings more to this show by being nuts.
I was on episode 2 and I brought nachos and like ordered just a pizza, the 2-for-1 pizza deal. Brought the first libertarian thing, Paul.
So honor the hierarchy and seniority and give him the mod powers and not Paul.
I told you, Niece's application for mod abilities is up there. It just needs to get approved and wrapped up by the other mods.
You're like a Freedom of Information.
You know what? You know what? You're right. I should do something about it. I'm going to form a blue ribbon committee with myself and Paul to and Christy. Yes.
For $8 a month, you can be a part of Wall Blue.
All right.
Yes. And we will look into his application being lost.
It's,
we should be able to do something about that.
Just DM me nudes, you get mod. I'm gonna keep you like a Discord moderator,
Vincent,
right?
Get on that. Send him nudes.
Send me nudes. Discord mod. You get mod privileges. Like, let's go.
I'm good.
Vincent,
if you need
someone
to take the butthole pics for you, I got you.
I got a stand now. Okay, thank you.
You get a better angle, though, if you just get the old reach around. Yeah.
Right, Christy? Vincent, go ahead.
In general, Christmas is okay. It's a mediocre holiday, in my opinion.
So wrong.
That's Grinch as fuck.
Yeah, it is. Dude,
misanthrope.
I'm working both Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. I don't care.
You're bringing that joy to everyone.
Absolutely.
He's like, I like Hanukkah better because I get 7 days of gifts.
He's more of a Kwanzaa guy.
Mm-hmm.
Half a Kwanzaa guy.
I was going to say, he's going to say like Hanukkah's mediocre. I'm like, well, that's anti-Semitic.
Then on the doxing aspect, don't be a dick to people. Just treat people how you want to be treated. If somebody's being a dick, call them out and just treat other people nicely. Watch Low Key Wall on Mondays at 9:00 because we always do, even though Spangle hates to acknowledge us and refuses to watch us. Mm-hmm. So
hear more about you fuckers than anybody else now. So
does that happen here?
No. It's actually online. It's all digital.
That's my problem.
Do you need a webcam? Do you have a computer?
No.
You have a phone?
Yeah.
You can use your phone.
Yeah. Jackie came in and she used her phone.
Yeah, we did the 30th.
I got
the 30th,
a ring light setup that I'll send you. It's like $30. Oh, okay. And it holds your phone and you have a light and it'll work.
That's what I want for Christmas. I want to help her out.
I will help. Yeah. I will help Miranda. I love Miranda. She's so funny and she's talented and she needs to be on Low Key Wall and all that stuff.
That's all digital. And the Low Key Wall on Mondays, we all just get on StreamYard and just watch and then talk about stuff. And on the 30th, we're going to do a 4-hour, everybody hang out, chill.
It's unfortunately mostly anime right now.
I mean,
I got big titties.
She does.
She's more qualified than you are at this point.
Literally everybody in this room except James has big titties. Harry's are more like pecs, but.
Thank you. Work on these.
Reinhold, final thoughts.
Harry's more focused on his outer booty than anything.
That's true.
He has a great ass.
Yeah. I go to Pilates class to work on my booty. All
right. I've been doing it for 2 years. It's done nothing for me.
You've got to get the band on it too. Yeah. And you got to get the proper shorts. I got these really nice spandex ones. I grab it.
Well, Harry, our genetics are different. Go ahead, Reinhold.
I don't know what to say at this point. Just have Merry Christmas to everybody and have a Happy New Year.
All right, Paul.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to everybody. Doxing is not cool, but it really is not as much of a deal as Mr. Musk is making it out to be. So don't do it unless you have a really good reason, kids. Just like drugs.
Yeah.
That was inspirational.
Don't worry, Paul. Your Adderall's on the way. It's fine.
That's fine. So Low Key Wall Mondays nights at 9:00 Eastern Standard Time. The fastest growing show on the We Are Libertarians Network.
What?
We also do our long form show. We do it once a month per Reinhold's contract. We're going to do it on December 30th this time. So we're going to have a good 4-hour plus or 4-hour show, maybe plus. May go longer. Hopefully. And we do plan on going through the rest of the year to be using this studio to also do those Friday episodes, to come here and do those. I don't know. We're not doing all of them there because that's harder on Ryan, especially if we have to have him come for a 4-hour stay log and then go home, then come back.
I know, but I feel bad. Like, he's the oldest guy in the room, but we made him sit on a stepladder.
We offered Paul's lap.
He chose to sit on the stepladder.
It's cool. My back is, I needed to stand.
Sometimes
most of the time.
It's nice to stand. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so yeah,
it helps me stay awake too.
Harry, go ahead.
Yeah, so maybe we'll get a bed here, so Reinhold doesn't have to like go home that night. Yeah, but I'm scared to get a bed here because then like I have to kick Christy out because she'll probably like stay here for weekends.
You gotta get Reinhold those like those attachments you put on cigarettes to make them smokeless, so the smoke doesn't go anywhere. So you put cigarette, and then he'll fucking stay here all day, dude.
Yeah. Christy's looking at me right now. Is like, yeah, we need to get a bed here in the studio.
A dog bed.
Yeah.
No pets.
And make it
no
420 friendly.
He barely allows my squish in.
The basement's 420 friendly.
Okay.
All right. My final thoughts is I got Harry a gift. A very thoughtful gift. He is the only one to receive this gift because there is only one of it.
Rent money?
No. It is...
money from the internet?
It is an exclusive Dear Leader NFT, which I'm texting you right now.
Yeah.
So it's a picture I took of the Dear Leader picture that Joshua Sexton sent.
That you took?
Christy Avery took it. So, I cropped it, so
he's
it counts.
He's such a liar.
So, Harry, I just sent you the text. The see if you got owner. It. And you are the proud owner of the very first wall NFT. Oh, it's my
it's,
gift to
it's
you.
It's even better because Harry hates the blockchain, so it makes it 10 times better.
I know.
What's the Ethereum count number on that?
I'm going to post this in the wall group, and nobody is allowed to take it. This is Harry's. Yeah, he owns the picture. He doesn't own the picture that has been painted by Joshua Sexton. He owns the picture of the painting.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. He owns the location of the picture of the painting. You see, if you move it, he owns nothing. That's how the blockchain NFTs work.
Now, that is a $99 value. So what do you have to say?
Thank you for unnecessary putting things on the blockchain.
I didn't put it in the blockchain. I don't know how to do that. Oh. I just texted it to you.
All right.
So that's my
actually blockchain. No. Then that is a gift. There, not putting things on the unnecessary things on the blockchain is a massive gift.
I wouldn't know how to do that if I tried. So I just sent you the Boomer NFT, which is the Boomer blockchain, which is I texted the picture to you.
Yes.
That's fine. That's fine. My wife does that too, which like take a photo of like instructions or a thing and send it to me. And I'm like, just send me the link.
Yeah, being broke. Yes, I've had to resort to giving people the gift of not doing things that they hate this Christmas. Yeah, that's fine.
Then why are you here?
So you're going to call it Versailles now, right? You're going to call it Versailles now, right? Is this what it is? Is it going to be Versailles for now on?
Christy, what were you going to say?
Shouldn't the Dear Leader NFT be worth more than Donald Trump's NFT?
You know what? It's worth $101.
It's priceless.
Yes.
101 Dear Leader bucks.
Those actually went up in price. There's one that's going for like $3,000 right now because like valuation and scalping on Ethereum right now. So like the earlier you buy the Donald Trump NFT is the higher the price goes. So you get into it when it's about like $8,000 before you cash it out.
It's ridiculous. All right. Thanks everybody for listening. We hope you have a Merry Christmas and a great new year. We will be back in the new year at some point in January. We'll have another one of these shows talking about something, anything other than Elon Musk, I promise. Unless, you know, he like commits a nuclear war. But we appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for being patrons. If you are a patron, if you're not, please sign up. Really does help us fund things like this studio and all the different services that we use and all that good junk. So thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you again soon here on We Are Libertarians.